As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, I'm sure many of you have seen the controversy that has broken out between, I would say, our former friend Stephen Crowder and those of us here at the Daily Wire. And it makes me sick to my stomach. I know that my business partner, Jeremy Boring, has made him sick to his stomach as well, because we had always considered Stephen a friend. I was Stephen's first lawyer. I helped negotiate his contract with Fox News, going all the way back. It's got to be at least over a decade. And Stephen and I had always been very friendly. I know Jeremy was even friendlier with Stephen. Had counseled him in very rough times. I had personally attempted to intervene when Stephen was demonetized in June 2019 on YouTube. I actually sounded off so loudly that the people at YouTube reached out to me, and Susan Wojcicki, the head of YouTube, got on the phone with me, and I reamed her out over demonetizing Stephen. And I hope it made a difference. And look, I think that Stephen is an incredibly talented comedian. I also think that what he is doing to my friend Jeremy Boring right now is one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen in politics. It really is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. In order to understand what's happening, I think you have to understand a couple of things. So for those who missed the story, basically, we offered Stephen a term sheet, a non-binding term sheet. A non-binding term sheet is exactly what it sounds like. It is a list of terms for a proposed negotiation for a contract. And then negotiation happens, then you come to a final contract. That is what a non-binding term sheet is. His agent had solicited us to make him an offer. This is when he was in his closing days with the Blaze. And so we sent him over a non-binding term sheet for $50 million over the course of 4 years, with an additional two-year option at $25 million. That is, as it sounds like, a lot of money. But we thought that Stephen is worth it, because Stephen is, again, an incredibly talented guy with a very, very large following. And if you want to hear the actual terms of the term sheet, all you have to do is go to the description on this particular video or head on over to YouTube, and you can see my business partner, Jeremy Boring, read the terms word for word. Stephen's original video in which he attacked us. So this week, Stephen attacked Jeremy Boring and attacked the Daily Wire and suggested that if we had essentially offered him an enslavement contract that would have robbed him of all of his freedom and made him subject to the whims of big tech and all the rest of this kind of bullshit. And, it's just not true. Jeremy, unlike Stephen, read the entire text of the term sheet on the air and goes through it piece by piece and explains exactly how it works. And in short, all the contract says is, we are offering you this gigantic sum of money, and if you start to lose money for the company and for yourself because you lose YouTube, for example, then we both lose money, so you lose some money. Because this is typically how contracts work. On this show, for example, if I lose advertisers and the revenue of the show goes down, then I lose revenue personally because the revenue of the show has gone down. So again, if you want the details, the legalistic details of all this, you can check out Jeremy's video. It is absolutely comprehensive and irrefutable because, again, he reveals, I've never seen anybody else do this, he reveals literally the entirety of the what was supposed to be confidential term sheet that Stephen decided to partially leak for his own benefit. And this is the part that's really ugly. Okay, so the part that's really ugly is the betrayal of friendship. So last night, Stephen Crowder, in response to Jeremy reading the entire term sheet and saying somehow Stephen misconstrued this and is using this to attack us and launch a website called Stop Big Con, as though we are in the pocket of big tech. We are in the pocket of big tech. We who have invested literally tens of millions of dollars building alternatives to big tech. We who put up people like Matt Walsh and Candace Owens and my show. We who have been attacked by Facebook and have been attacked in the legacy media all the time, and who are routinely demonetized. Well, yes, nailed it. We were in the pocket of big tech. This was Stephen's line of attack. And supposedly, this line of attack came from that term sheet, right? The idea was that the term sheet was doing the work of big tech because the term sheet suggested that if he got demonetized from YouTube and we both lost money, that he would also lose money. What he apparently wanted us to do was continue to pay him extraordinary sums of money, even if the show was losing money, which is called a charity. It is not called a business. The hardest thing to do in the conservative movement or anywhere else is to, one, run a successful business, and two, make a difference. We here at Daily Wire do both things. In fact, we try to generate a profit so we can continue to make a difference. And it turns out when you lose money, you don't actually have the wherewithal or the resources in order to do things, like spend enormous quantities of money making What is a Woman by Matt Walsh, or making The Greatest Lie Ever Sold by Candace Owens, or funding the investigative reporters who shift the Virginia gubernatorial race by uncovering what happens in Loudoun County, or put out good information each and every day to rebut the evils of the Biden administration, or spend the millions of dollars it takes to sue the Biden administration to stop the OSHA vax mandate or any of that kind of stuff. They cost money. And in order to make that money, you have to run a business. So you can't run charity for your hosts. That apparently is what Stephen wanted. But Stephen decides that this is supposedly his story is that he was so offended by the term sheet, he just had to speak out. He had to stand up for the little guy, right? Okay, there are a bunch of problems with this. I was willing to stay silent on all of this, generally speaking, and not get into the weeds and not get into Stephen's personal conduct until the point when he personally recorded a phone call with my best friend, Jeremy Boring, and then proceeded to release that publicly. That is disgusting. It is disgusting and it is vile on a pure human level. Jeremy, again, has gone out of his way for Stephen more times than I can count. He has counseled Stephen personally. And Stephen decided in premeditated fashion that he was going to tape his friend and then release it to grow his email list. It is that simple. And I'll show you the timeline here, because the case here is that, again, this term sheet that he got so offended by it, he just had to speak up. He couldn't be held back any longer. He had to speak up on behalf of the little guy. Okay, I'm going to read you the timeline of what happened during this negotiation and when he decided to tape his friend, his supposed friend, Jeremy Boring. So here is the timeline here. October 5th. 2022 is when we sent Stephen the supposedly evil term sheet. So evil. So you would imagine that the term sheet was that evil. October 6th, he couldn't have held back. How could you guys do this? October 5th is when we sent him this term sheet offering him $50 million over 4 years plus a two-year extension for 25 mil. Basketball player type money. On November 2nd, Stephen called up Jeremy and said, I want $30 million a year and a bunch of changes to the term sheet. I'm not going to redline the term sheet. I'm not going to edit the term sheet. I just want you to send me a brand new offer. On November 6th, 4 days later, remember, this is after he's already sounded off, he's got the term sheet, he's had it for a month. November 6th was election night. You'll recall, if you're a Daily Wire fan, Stephen Crowder appeared on our election night coverage. Everything was very friendly. Everything was very chummy. Everything was great. November 14th, or thereabouts, we decided that we couldn't meet his demands. That his demands were not rational in business terms, that he wanted too much money, and all the rest of it. So we let him know, no hard feelings. We're still friends, just like we do in every contract negotiation. As Tim Pool said on his show last night, we've had contract negotiations with Tim, and we disagreed, and we went our separate ways, and we still like Tim. Tim still likes us, and all the rest. Okay, so November 14th or thereabouts, we told Stephen that we couldn't meet his demands. Fast forward another month, December 12th, he registered the site Stop Big Con. Okay, that's when he registered it. Remember, October 5th is when he received the terms. November 14th is when we said we could not meet his demands. December 12th is when he registered Stop Big Con because he knew that 3 days later he was going to be announcing that he was leaving the Blaze. He needed a plan, and attacking us was the plan. December 15th, he announced he was leaving the Blaze. A month after that, he texted Jeremy in friendly fashion to ask if they could talk. On January 9th, he called Jeremy and proceeded to tape him. Without permission, without Jeremy's knowledge, he proceeded to tape a person who was supposedly his friend. And remember, this is all based on the passion of the upset that he had over a term sheet that was submitted to him on October 5th. It is a month. It's actually 36 days after. January 17th is when he launches Stop Big Con. So just to get this straight, just to get the timeline straight, because this is what we would call a premeditated move in an attempt to grow your email list. This means 104 days elapsed between when Stephen Crowder received the term sheet that we submitted to him and when he launched Stop Big Con. 104 days. And it means that 36 days elapsed between when he decided to attack Daily Wire and Jeremy by purchasing Stop Big Con and when he called Jeremy to tape him. So that means well over 3 months elapsed, Again, between him who received this egregiously evil term sheet, which, by the way, is not egregiously evil. The term sheet is perfectly legitimate. It was the basis for further negotiation. There have been moves on both sides. But there's nothing wrong with saying to a person who produces a show, one, you have to produce a certain number of shows, and if you don't, we're not going to pay you for the shows that you don't produce. And two, if your show begins to lose money, you also lose money. This is how business works. This is how the media works. This is how capitalism works. We are not communists. We do not pay people in order to not generate revenue. We cannot run a business and keep it functional and employ 300 people and have the money to spend on all the wonderful projects that we like to do, on the $100 million we're going to spend on kids' content, on the suing of Joe Biden's administration. We can't do any of that stuff unless we are a profitable company. We don't pay people just for the fun of it. So that means this is totally premeditated. It is an attempt to grow an email list by deliberately misconstruing terms of a perfectly legitimate non-binding term sheet for a person that I personally and Jeremy have gone out of our way to help multiple times. A person who then claims that we are the big shills for YouTube, right? We're the ones who are shilling for big tech. So what's his claim on that? His claim is that we're shilling for big tech by saying that if you get banned from YouTube and we lose money because of that, then you also lose money. Well, I noticed that someone else makes the vast bulk of his living via the exposure he receives on YouTube, and his name is Steven Crowder. Steven has a bigger following on YouTube than I do. He has a massive following on YouTube. He's a YouTube superstar. He has 6 million followers on YouTube. He doesn't want to be banned on YouTube. By the way, he doesn't have to be demonetized in order to continue. The demonetization does not mean that he doesn't indirectly make money on YouTube. The exposure he receives on YouTube allows him to push people to Mug Club. He knows this. This is why he has a Piss Off YouTube segment, which is smart. Right? He does the same thing on his show that I do on my show. Exactly the same thing. You will hear me on the show when I discuss COVID say, I'm about to say a bunch of things I can't say on YouTube. So head on over to Daily Wire Plus and subscribe and hear the rest of it. Steven does the same thing. He says, I'm going to have my Piss Off YouTube segment, in which he avoids saying the things that will get him permanently banned on YouTube, but directs people to his site. So is he a shill for big tech? Is he a shill for big tech? Because if he were really not a shill for big tech, apparently, he would just say whatever he wants. Any day, he'll just say it any day. And if they knock him off, they knock him off. But he's not doing that because he's not a moron. Steven's not a moron. He apparently is just a bad person who tapes his friends and then releases the tapes for personal gain. I'm personally insulted by Steven's behavior here. I'm more insulted. It has nothing to do with me because he hasn't actually said anything about me. It has to do with you don't get to attack my best friend and suggest that my best friend is some sort of shill for big tech when we spend every day, literally every day in this business, attempting to fight big tech and to win. When we spend every day trying to bring good content to people who can't get it in a lot of other ways and build a business, who go out of our way to make offers to people for tens of millions of dollars so they can continue to provide the content that you want. Tens of millions of dollars to people like Steven Crowder. I don't see a lot of other people walking across the table to make this offer to Steven Crowder. The easiest thing to do in our particular industry is to attack your friends and make money off of that. The hardest thing to do in our industry is to win at business and to win against the left. And those two things are simultaneous. Because if you lose money, you can't keep operating and fight the agenda of the left. You know, it makes me nauseous to be talking about this, honestly. It makes me sick to be talking about this. I'm sad for Steven that he feels the necessity to plan for months apparently to attack his friends to try to grow an email list in the most cynical possible fashion and tape his friends on the phone and then release that public. Who does that? Is that something you do? I mean, I just ask you on a personal level. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taped your friends? Is that a thing that you do? You text your friend just so you can set them up on tape and then you selectively release parts of the tape to try to make them look bad. It fails, by the way. And you lie about the terms that you are offered in order to grow your email list and look like the truest conservative in all the land. The man who's truly standing up, well, by the way, not being banned from YouTube. He explicitly says on his show that he does not say things on YouTube, so he will not be banned on YouTube. But when we say the same thing to him, apparently it's super bad. Or alternatively, this is one of the all-time planned attacks for monetization I have ever seen, and doing it by attacking a person like Jeremy, who's been extremely kind to Steven, is just vile at the highest possible level. It's personally repulsive. It's absolutely repulsive. We'll get to more on this in just one second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance. But the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty. Now, on to regular news. Coming up, speaking of good work the Daily Wire is doing, our investigative reporter Luke Rosiak, he's broken another shocking story. We'll get into that in just a moment. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
09.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, one of our best reporters here at the Daily Wire is Luke Rosiak. He has another shocking story. So, here is the story. Apparently, the state of Maryland refused to give a Virginia runaway back to her parents because her parents, quote-unquote, misgendered her. And then she was sex trafficked, according to the mom. These are the wages of a state that values gender ideology nonsense over the actual safety of children. And here's what Luke reports. Quote, a 14-year-old transgender runaway from Virginia endured a six-month nightmare that saw her twice fall into the hands of sex traffickers, the second time after Baltimore bureaucrats refused to return her to her home state because they accused her adoptive parents of misgendering her, according to records reviewed by the Daily Wire. The child, identified in legal documents as Sage, was adopted by her biological grandmother, Michelle Blair, after the death of her father. Long troubled, Sage began identifying as a male named Draco and ran away from their rural home in late August of 2021, only to end up on the mean streets of Baltimore, where authorities rescued her from a convicted sex offender, according to records. So she ran away from home. She ended up in Maryland. She was in the home of a convicted sex offender, and the authority found her. But instead of taking her back to her parents, instead they decided to put her in an inner-city group home. Why? Well, because they said that her adoptive blood relative parents didn't sufficiently recognize her transgender identity. It is not possible to return the child to that home, said Judge Robert B. Kershaw, after an impassioned plea from Baltimore Assistant Public Defender Anissa Khan. Instead, the judge turned Sage over to the Baltimore City Department of Juvenile Services, quote, for placement in a hardware-secure therapeutic facility, which makes reasonable accommodation for respondents' expressed male gender and desire to live as a trans male. Remember, this is a 14-year-old child. That meant housing the girl just rescued from a sex offender with some of Baltimore's most troubled biological males. After months in Maryland institutions, Sage bolted, only to resurface in Texas, where she once again had been allegedly trafficked to pedophiles, according to records. Unlike their counterparts in Maryland, Texas officials returned her to her parents, according to an ethics complaint that was filed by the parents against the public defender. Khan allegedly told the girl to lie about being abused by her parents, seemingly in order to create a legal precedent allowing states, other than where a teen lives, to refuse to return a runaway teen if transgender issues are in play. The accusation is that the Baltimore Assistant Public Defender Anissa Khan encouraged this very troubled 14-year-old girl, who is now identifying as a boy, to claim abuse at the hands of her adoptive close relative parents so that she would not be returned to those people, mainly because they say that she's actually a girl and not a boy. Being the subject of an interstate tug-of-war driven by an ideological leftist bureaucracy was a new kind of exploitation for Sage, who had become accustomed to evil men seeking to use her for profit or gratification. Her grandmother recounted for police how the cruel spiral began for the child she still hopes to raise. I went to wake up my daughter, Blair said, describing the morning of August 25th, 2021, in an Appomattox County Sheriff's Office report. She was gone. The window screen had been cut open. I immediately looked everywhere, and they drove to the Appomattox Sheriff to report Sage missing. Sage would later reveal she sneaked out to meet someone she thought was a 16-year-old boy who liked skateboarding, but the person was in fact a sex offender who had been grooming her online and took her to Washington and then to Baltimore, according to Michelle. A frantic search that included the Sheriff's Office, FBI, Virginia State Police, and U.S. Marshals ended 1 week later, when Sage was found in Baltimore with Kenneth Fisher, a 36-year-old convicted sex offender. In the week she'd been missing, Sage experienced untold horror at his hands. Blair would later write in a victim impact statement, quote, when Sage was delivered to this man, he told my daughter she was now part of his family. Sage replied she was only 14 years old and please don't rape me, to which Kenneth Fisher immediately took her into his bedroom and violently raped her. He enjoyed strangling her, but not quite to death. This sick man trafficked her to so many men that Sage lost count. Fisher is now being housed in jail, but he was not the last adult to exploit Sage because after Sage was found, Blair drove all night to pick her up. But the city of Baltimore said she was being held in jail as a defendant, apparently for running away. Her court-appointed lawyer was Khan, whose LinkedIn page says, quote, defense attorneys become the heroes of justice as they were called to stand in the gap between the coercive power of the state and the relatively limited power of the indigent accused who were and are still disproportionately black and Latinx. It was Khan who persuaded Judge Kershaw not to return Sage to her home in Virginia after her 72-year-old grandfather, overcome by emotion, accidentally called her she. Ironically, Blair is a longtime court-appointed child advocate, ordinarily making her an ideal trusted parent. But the Maryland Juvenile Court maintained her home was abusive, even after a local Virginia agency's investigation found no such mistreatment. Blair believes Khan was intent on making her daughter a poster child in the fight for trans rights above parental rights, no matter the cost. A week after ruling that Sage could not be sent back to Virginia, Kershaw received a form asserting Blair's right of custody and the obligation of the state of Maryland to turn her over under the Interstate Compact on Juveniles, the ICJ. Kershaw rejected it on a technicality. Kershaw, careful to use Sage's preferred masculine pronoun and new name, also faulted the petition for failing to, quote, state the circumstances of Draco's running away or his location at the time the application was made. Kershaw ordered Sage fitted with a GPS monitor and sent to an institution called the Children's Home. It seems that Draco then ran away again. Sage ran away again and found herself in Texas, where she was then trafficked to a bunch of pedophiles. So the trans agenda taking precedent over any interests of the child. If this is a systemic problem across the country, we are in a world of trouble, and so are our children. just a horrifying story. That's the kind of work that we're doing over at Daily Wire, uncovering that sort of stuff. So good on Luke Rosiak, our investigative reporter, for uncovering another bombshell. Alrighty, coming up, Alec Baldwin has now been charged with involuntary manslaughter. We'll go through the details. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a happy new year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations generations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Alec Baldwin has now been charged with involuntary manslaughter. That's kind of a shocker. You'll remember this was a big controversy at the time. Apparently, Alec Baldwin had pointed the gun, he's a Western of some sort, he pointed the gun at a camera, and then he had shot the gun, and there was live ammo in the gun, and he ended up killing the cinematographer. The New York Times reports, for more than a year, the actor Alec Baldwin has tried to defend himself against the suggestion he bore responsibility for the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of Rust, a low-budget Western he was filming on the outskirts of Santa Fe, New Mexico. He told detectives he had been assured the gun he was rehearsing with that day did not contain live ammo, sat down for an extensive TV interview, sought indemnification for financial liability in the case, and then sued crew members on the film, claiming they were the ones responsible for handing him a loaded gun. But on Thursday, prosecutors said they would charge him with two counts of involuntary manslaughter in the killing of the cinematographer, Alina Hutchins, 42, saying they believed he had a duty to ensure the revolver was safe to handle. Andrea Reeb, special prosecutor appointed by Santa Fe County's district attorney to help handle the case, said, quote, "We're trying to make definitely clear that everybody's equal under the law, including A-listers like Alec Baldwin. We also want to make sure the safety of the film industry is addressed and things like this don't happen again." The film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who loaded the gun that day and was responsible for weapons on the set, will also be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter. The film's first assistant director, Dave Halls, who handed Baldwin the gun, agreed to a plea deal on the charge of negligent use of a deadly weapon. So a lot of people were pretty surprised by this because they said, well, hold up, Baldwin was handed a loaded gun and he had no reason to believe that there was actually live ammo in the gun. SAG-AFTRA, the union that represents film, TV, and radio workers, said that the death of this particular cinematographer was a preventable tragedy, but it was not a failure of duty or criminal act on the part of any performer. So here are some of the prosecutors talking about Baldwin. Originally, you'll remember that Baldwin claimed he didn't even pull the trigger, that the trigger sort of pulled itself. And some of the prosecutors like, oh, well, that's not true.
I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
The Santa Fe County District Attorney and Special Prosecutor telling Judge Janine that Baldwin isn't being truthful, and they say Hutchins would be alive if he had done his job.
We definitely believe he pulled the trigger. The FBI lab report confirms that, so definitely the trigger was pulled.
Well, I mean, clearly the trigger was pulled. Guns don't fire themselves, contrary to popular opinion. The DA, Mary Carmack Altwies, said that Baldwin should have checked the gun and the projectiles and that's why this is effectively his responsibility.
But if you have an actor with what he or she thinks is a prop gun, not a real gun, is that actual negligence if it turns out that gun can actually shoot?
It's more than that. Every person that handles a gun has a duty to make sure that if they are going to handle that gun, point it at someone and pull the trigger, that it is not going to fire a projectile and kill someone. And this is really about justice for Alina Hutchins. We've talked to many actors, A-list and otherwise, that have said that they always check their guns or they have someone check it in front of them.
Okay, now, obviously, there are other actors who suggest that's not, in fact, the case. The statute in New Mexico is relatively vague, and it depends on sort of what you consider his legal duty. According to the New Mexico statute on involuntary manslaughter, they say that involuntary manslaughter consists of a lawful act, commission of a lawful act, which might produce death in an unlawful manner or without due caution and circumspection. So the question is this without due caution and circumspection? What the prosecutors presumably are going to have to prove is that there is a duty for Baldwin to actually check the loading of the gun. And so somebody else was responsible for it, or is he responsible for it? Privately, a police report said he had lamented to a detective that if, quote, your name becomes associated with something, nobody wants to work with you anymore. Nobody. Obviously, it's you know, we'll see how this trial falls out. I don't actually know the answer as to, on set, who is responsible for ensuring that the guns that you use are actually unloaded. I actually kind of find it somewhat hard to believe, actually, that actors are to be tasked with determining whether the guns they are being handed are loaded or not. I mean, that seems like an act of dramatic irresponsibility on the part of whomever the advisor to the film is, the person who's doing the technical advising, who who actually makes sure that the guns are supposedly unloaded. Baldwin says himself that it's not the practice for actors to check their own guns. But we'll keep an eye on that developing story because it obviously is of some interest. Alec Baldwin's lawyers, for their part, say they're confident they'll win because, again, the idea is that he's not responsible for checking the ammo. You're responsible, on a personal level, by the way, for checking your own ammo, but apparently Alec Baldwin is not. I don't know the answer to this on a set. I just don't. Meanwhile, speaking of people who are claiming accident, but this time actually don't actually get to claim accident, that would be Joe Biden. So Joe Biden came out yesterday, and he said that he has no regrets, none, about his handling of classified documents, which is kind of shocking, considering that classified documents were found in his possession, in his garage, in his office, in the Penn Biden Center for Chinese Donations. Here is Joe Biden yesterday claiming that he has nothing, there's no regrets, man. He's going to get a neck tattoo that says just that.
As we found a handful of documents were filed in the wrong place. We immediately turned them over to the archives and the Justice Department. We're fully cooperating, looking forward to getting this resolved quickly. I think you're going to find there's nothing there. I have no regrets. I'm following what the lawyers have told me they want me to do. It's exactly what we're doing. There's no there there. Thank you.
Well, I mean, there is a there there. In fact, there are classified documents there, and the question is how they got there. And the other question is how they got found. Because typically, again, when you are moving boxes from one place to another, you don't typically open, like, all your boxes of documents. When, especially if you're, like, a low-level worker, you're a mover. You're called to the place to move out of the Penn Biden Center for Chinese Grift and to move those boxes, presumably, to Joe Biden's Corvette garage or something. You don't typically, like, is like the college hunks for hire checking out the classified information in the boxes. And the answer is no. It was Joe Biden's lawyers who were going through the boxes. So the question is, do you hire lawyers when you're moving? I've never hired lawyers when I'm moving. It's not a thing that I typically do because their hourly rates are extraordinarily high. But that is how they uncovered all these documents in the first place. Meanwhile, CNN doing its best to cover for Joe Biden. Well, you know, this kind of stuff happens all the time. And really what it is, it's a problem of overclassification. Oh, so when a Democrat does it, it's overclassification. When Donald Trump does it, it's because he is evil and selling the nuclear codes to Vladimir Putin. Here is CNN trying to talk Joe Biden's way out of this.
All right, Katie, this has been a big question, of course, not just in light of what happened with Trump's documents, but also now with Biden. You know, is it an accepted thing? How common is this? What is your reporting found?
Yeah, Caitlin, this kind of classified spillage happens almost literally every day. And most of the time, it's completely accidental. An employee accidentally takes home a classified document in a briefcase.
Well, I mean, whoopsie. This must have been a big whoopsie at three separate locations. And they're searching through it like 5 years later. Because Joe Biden left office in 2017. So, yeah, that's weird. That's weird. I'm noticing a shocking lack of competence, actually, as it turns out, by the investigators in many of these cases. Remember, the DOJ did not send lawyers to go oversee the searching of the documents even after they knew that Joe Biden had classified documents in his house. They're like, yeah, just lawyers will handle that. It'll be fine. Why not? They're doing an amazing job. And meanwhile, speaking of people who are doing an amazing job, the Supreme Court says it still has not identified the person who leaked the draft abortion opinion in Roe versus Wade. I'm sorry. That is bull. Like, maybe the Supreme Court is unable to find that out, but who exactly is on the job over there? Inspector Clouseau? The Supreme Court staff is not large. It's not like you have thousands of people working for the Supreme Court. Some of the most coveted positions in all of the legal profession are clerkships under a Supreme Court justice. And usually it's like 4, 5, 6 clerks per justice. They're going to have a very small cadre of people. It cannot be this hard to find out who leaked this stuff to Politico. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court announced on Thursday that an internal investigation had failed to identify who leaked a draft of the opinion overturning Roe versus Wade. In a 20-page report, the court marshal, Gail Curley, who oversaw the inquiry, said that investigators had conducted 126 formal interviews of 97 employees, all of whom had denied being the source of the leak. But several employees acknowledged that they had told their spouses or partners about the draft opinion and the vote count in violation of the court's confidentiality rules, the report said. The investigation did not determine that any of those discussions led to a copy of the draft opinion becoming public, however. Investigators also found no forensic evidence of who may have leaked the opinion in examining the court's computer devices, networks, printers, and available call and text logs, the report said. The finding raised the possibility no one will be held to account for one of the most stunning breaches of secrecy in the Supreme Court's history. The leak left the court in a state of mutual suspicion about whether a clerk or even a justice betrayed its code of silence about rulings before they were announced. The inconclusive report comes as opinion polls have shown weakened trust in the court and all of the rest of this sort of stuff. I find it absolutely hard to believe that if the full power of American law enforcement were unleashed on this particular case, it would be impossible to find who among the 97 people who were interviewed. And this is basically just an Agatha Christie mystery. It's a closed box mystery. One of these 97 people or a spouse leaked this. So who is it? This doesn't seem like it should take this long to figure out. But apparently it does. Either that or somebody knows and they're not revealing it for a very good reason. I love that the left is trying to claim that Samuel Alito leaked it. Yeah, that would make perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that Samuel Alito would leak his own draft opinion in order to drive extraordinary ire and outrage prior to the vote being actually done. Yes, makes perfect sense. You nailed it, guys. It is far more likely that it's a left-wing law clerk. And by the way, I think eventually we will find out, once the statute of limitations has closed, we will find out who this was, and this person will then be feted as a hero by the left for attempting to stop this great predation of allowing states to legislate on the issue of abortion. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First, many of you have asked, what is the state of abortion in the post-Roe world? Well, sadly, abortion continues to happen at an extraordinarily terrible rate, with the abortion pill accounting for over 50% of abortions and now about to become available to many local pharmacies across the country. Babies' lives are in even greater danger. Preborn partner clinics continue to stand strong for the unborn by providing free ultrasounds to mothers considering abortion. Once a mother hears that heartbeat and sees the precious life growing inside her, she is twice as likely to choose life. But Preborn doesn't stop there. They provide these mothers with counseling, diapers, baby clothes, and assistance for up to 2 years, wrapped with love and compassion. One ultrasound is just $28, the cost of a dinner to save a life. Get involved today. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That is #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/Shapiro. That is preborn.com/Shapiro. All gifts are tax deductible. 100% of your donation goes to saving babies. Babies do need our help now more than ever. Please go to preborn.com/Shapiro to get started. Alrighty, coming up, things continue to heat up in Ukraine. This is dangerous stuff. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call Shasta Beam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So things are continuing to heat up in Ukraine, and I'm not seeing any off-ramp here from the Biden administration. I understand the strategy, which is keep ratcheting up the pressure on the Russians until they come to the table. The question is, what are you offering the Russians that they should come to the table? Virtually every conflict in human history has ended with some sort of negotiation. Very few of them end with the total defeat of one side or another. This happens to be one where negotiation is going to be the outcome, because Russia is not going to disappear as a state, nor is Ukraine going to march into Moscow. On the one hand, you obviously want to maintain pressure so that the Russians don't feel that they can continue to push without counter pressure. On the other hand, there has to be some sort of backdoor negotiation happening with Putin and his team. Because if this continues to ramp up and Russia really believes that they are going to lose everything, that's when the nukes may come out. That is when Vladimir Putin decides to mobilize 2 million people and just flood the zone. Or maybe he decides to fire a missile over into NATO territory in order to try and break NATO proper. And basically dare you, come back at me over the border. War is a fluid situation, and the longer it lasts, the more opportunities you have for a major screw-up. You'll recall that just a few months ago, there was a situation in which a missile fired by Ukraine of Russian make ended up hitting Poland. And there was talk for like a brief hot second that maybe it was Russia that had hit Poland, maybe we were all going nuclear war, right? You remember that for 5 seconds? And it turned out that it was actually Ukraine attempting to hit Russia and missing and instead hitting Poland. So we all have an interest at this point in facilitating an end to this conflict. I understand why the Ukrainian people have no interest in doing that. They're saying, listen, we got invaded and we're pushing back as much as we want to. Don't tie our hands. I get it. I also understand that the United States, and I'm an American, has achieved its interests already. The interests the United States was seeking to achieve are, one, the crippling of the Russian military for stepping over its boundaries. Done. Two, the prevention of Russia from invading another sovereign country. Done. Three, the realignment of Ukraine with the West. Done. Four, the realignment of Europe away from Russia and more toward the United States. Done. Five, the warning of China that if they attempt something similar with Taiwan, there will be dire economic and possibly military consequences. All of those goals have now been achieved. So the question becomes, what is America's further interest in continuing without end to facilitate this thing? According to the New York Times, however, the new U.S. aid is being provided. The attempt is to break through the Russian defenses. The U.S. plans to send Ukraine 90 Stryker armored combat vehicles as part of a roughly $2.5 billion shipment of arms and equipment that is expected to be announced at a meeting of allies in Germany on Friday, according to the DOD. The decision to send Strykers for the first time and possibly deliver them within weeks comes just days after Britain committed to sending Ukraine 14 Challenger battle tanks, and the United States, France, and Germany agreed to send dozens of armored infantry fighting vehicles, including 50 Bradley fighting vehicles. The U.S. announcement came 1 week after the Biden administration announced another $3 billion package of military assistance that will include Bradleys, which officials said would be especially helpful to Ukrainian units fighting Russian forces in the Donbass region of the country's east. Western officials fear Ukraine has only a narrow window before an anticipated Russian springtime offensive. They've been working quickly to give Kyiv sophisticated weapons they had earlier held out on sending because of concerns of provoking Moscow. On Wednesday, Colin Call, U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, told reporters Ukraine needed more mechanized infantry and armored personnel carriers to punch through heavily fortified Russian defenses. He said the Russians are really digging in. They're digging in. They're digging trenches. They're putting in dragon's teeth, laying mines. To enable Ukrainians to break through, the emphasis has been shifted to enabling them to combine fire and maneuver in a way that will prove to be more effective. Now, the United States has been also helping Ukraine target Crimea. Now, Crimea, it's been sort of a foregone conclusion since 2014, was going to stay Russian. The reason being that Russia had poured extraordinary resources into Crimea to sort of solidify it as a Russian province. So now the talk is allowing Ukraine to go into Crimea. Again, there has to be an off-ramp here. According to the New York Times, for years, the United States has insisted that Crimea is still part of Ukraine, but the Biden administration has held to a hard line since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, refusing to provide Kyiv with the weapons it needs to target the Crimean Peninsula, which Russia has been using as a base for launching devastating strikes. Now that line is starting to soften. After months of discussions with Ukrainian officials, the Biden administration is finally starting to concede that Kyiv may need the power to strike the Russian sanctuary, even if such a move increases the risk of escalation, according to several U.S. officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity. White House officials insist there's no change in position, because they say, we always said the Crimea is part of Ukraine. But yeah, there's a change in position when you are now saying that you should provide Ukraine the military resources to go back into Crimea. The Biden administration has come to believe that if the Ukrainian military can show Russia its control of Crimea can be threatened, that actually strengthen Kyiv's position in any future negotiations. Okay, so where are the negotiations? Now listen, it could be possible that Putin is the one who's refusing to negotiate. That's fine, but somebody should say that. And somebody should actually say it. That's not what I'm hearing. Somebody at the White House should say, Vladimir Putin has been utterly unwilling to negotiate on any terms at all. But if he's willing to negotiate, at a certain point you might want to actually negotiate. Instead, Putin, with his back to the wall, is announcing another mobilization round. The Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov announced on Tuesday that Putin will deliver a speech in St. Petersburg to commemorate the 80th anniversary of Soviet forces breaking the Nazi siege of Leningrad. And apparently he is going to announce another mass mobilization. We have up to 1.5 million men mobilized under arms by the Russian government. Meanwhile, Henry Kissinger is shifting his view on Ukraine and its NATO bid. Originally, you'll recall that he was not in favor of Ukraine joining NATO because he said that that would essentially provoke Russian action. Now he's saying Ukraine should join NATO essentially to deter the Russians from further acts of aggression. And again, I think there's truth to that. Or maybe that's a negotiating position. Maybe you go to Russia and you say, listen, Ukraine will not formally join NATO, but they do have a mutual defense guarantee with us, and we are going to continue to ship them the weaponry they need to deter a future attack. Maybe that's a negotiation point. And this is going to just kind of simmer for the West at a relatively mid-level range of attention up until the point where something goes dramatically wrong. Now, speaking of things that are going dramatically wrong, the situation on our southern border continues to be an absolute disaster area. Alejandro Mayorkas, our awful Department of Homeland Security secretary, he admits that we now need FEMA to help address issues with illegal immigration on the southern border.
FEMA is providing emergency food and shelter program funds to help cities around the country recover or defray the costs of non-citizen arrivals. CBP and ICE are working closely with cities to share information and coordinate the disposition of non-citizens in immigration enforcement proceedings.
Okay, so obviously this administration, it's been a disaster area. Mayorkas says we have a comprehensive strategy. They do not have a comprehensive strategy or anything remotely close to it. Here's Mayorkas.
We're executing a comprehensive strategy to secure our borders and build a safe, orderly, and humane immigration system. Working within a broken system in desperate need of legislative reform, 2 weeks ago, we announced new lawful pathways for non-citizens seeking relief in the United States, accompanied by a consequence regime for those who do not avail themselves of those processes.
Okay, so their new policy is nonsense. It is not going to be effective in any way, shape, or form. It basically allows you to apply online to immigrate illegally. It's not going to stop the flood across the border. Everybody knows this. So meanwhile, this is the dumb game that we play. Create an unworkable border policy and then say, what if we just legalize everybody? So now you got, again, once every couple of years, you get the bipartisan group of senators who decide they're going to solve immigration by amnestying 10 million people. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is now, you know, happening again. This is one of the reasons why, at least, thank God, the Republicans took the House. Even though it's by a slim margins, this thing is DOA in the House of Representatives. But the Senate is attempting to cram something through. Quote, a bipartisan group of senators is pushing ahead in the new Congress with efforts to reach an agreement on border security and immigration policy after talks ran out of time last year. We're committed to finding lasting solutions to this crisis, said Kyrsten Sinema, the senator from Arizona, who co-hosted a trip with Senator John Cornyn. Kyrsten Sinema, who chairs the Homeland Security Border Committee, is pushing for a deal that combines a path to citizenship for about 2 million people who were brought to the United States illegally as children. These would be the Dreamers, in exchange for changes to how the asylum system at the border functions. That would probably include expanding detention of asylum-seeking migrants and an extension of Title 42, a pandemic-era policy that allows illegal border crossers to be quickly turned back to Mexico. So in other words, she is basically proposing a short-term fix, but a permanent solution for the 2 million so-called Dreamers. How about no? How about we figure out what to do with the people here once we have plugged the giant leak in the boat? Like, that's not how any of this should work. You should figure out how to stop the leak before you figure out what to do with the people who are already here. Otherwise, you're just facilitating more leaking, which is exactly what happens. Every couple of years, you get a gang of eight or a gang of 12, and they try to figure out immigration. The reality is that the American people agree on immigration. What they want is two separate bills, one for border security, in which we actually solidify the border. And the second, we figure out what to do with the people here. And it seems to me a proper solution on that one would go something like this. Are the people who are here illegally of benefit to the United States, or are they not? When they came in, their status, that is almost wholly irrelevant. The question is, you got here, you skipped the line, you ended up here. Now, is it good for the United States that you are here? And the answer for some will be yes, and the answer for others will be no. That is what sovereign countries get to do. They get to pick and choose who enters the sovereign country. But apparently that is a bridge too far. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Thousands of pro-life activists gather for the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. today, but with a twist this year. This year, they're celebrating Roe v. Wade being overturned by the Supreme Court. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini told March for Life participants that pro-life work continues following the Supreme Court's reversal of Roe v. Wade.
While the march began as a response to Roe, we don't end as a response to Roe being overturned. Why? Because we're not yet done.
This year, the march ended not at the Supreme Court, but across the street at the U.S. Capitol. Russia claims to have captured a village in eastern Ukraine.
Russian Defense Ministry spokesman Igor Konashenkov says the village of Klishivka, which is located about 5 miles south of Bakhmut, had been liberated. The claim couldn't be independently verified, and Ukrainian officials have made no immediate comment on it. Taking Klishivka, however, would be only a minor breakthrough, but the Kremlin is hungry for good news from its battlefield after months of setbacks. Bakhmut, on the other hand, would be a bigger prize. It could allow Russia to disrupt Ukrainian supply lines in the east and threaten other Ukrainian-held cities in the surrounding Donetsk region. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Well, Border Patrol keeping an eye out for a new type of contraband coming across the southern border, eggs. If you can find eggs these days, you're likely paying more than double what you paid a year ago. And it's because of that, a lot of travelers are being caught trying to carry eggs into the U.S. from Mexico. The director of field operations at San Diego's border tweeted a reminder that raw eggs and raw poultry are prohibited, and if you fail to declare your eggs, fines up to $10,000. Texas agents say they've seen seizures increase by 108% in the past 3 months. More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
A Kansas man who threatened to kill a congressman has been convicted.
Chase Neal of Kansas admitted that he threatened to kill a congressman. A federal jury has now convicted him. Neal represented himself at the trial and questioned the lawmaker that he threatened, U.S. Representative Jake Turner, on the witness stand. Neal said that he was a messenger from God, warning that the congressman had to die for ignoring his concerns about wizards and extraterrestrials. The judge found Neal competent to stand trial and act as his own attorney despite a serious head injury. Threatening a public official is punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes slumped nearly 18% in 2022, the slowest year for the housing market in nearly a decade. This according to the National Association of Realtors. News and analysis at townhall.com. A bipartisan group of senators visiting war-ravaged Ukraine. Republican Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is in Kyiv, along with Democrats Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Senator Tom Cotton is applauding House passage of a bill to cut Democrat funding of 87,000 new IRS agents.
The reason the Democrats hired an army of 87,000 new IRS agents is to harass middle-class Americans, and especially small business owners. Multimillionaires like Joe Biden himself can afford fancy lawyers and accountants to minimize their tax burden.
Senator Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network he hopes the Senate will soon pass its own version of that bill. Details continue to surface in the case against the man accused of murdering four University of Idaho students. Legal experts say newly unsealed search warrants may point to a motive, also revealed several items seized from Brian Koberger's home following his arrest last month. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the Frankenstein doctors in the gender industry have announced their next big plan, which is to implant uteruses into men so that men can have babies. We'll talk about this grotesque story today. Also, hundreds of thousands of pro-lifers march on Washington as the media pretends not to notice. The Washington Post is worried about secondhand cake exposure. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. This past week, after the birth of the twins, I did make the mistake of checking on the news once or twice. The very first thing I encountered when I briefly dipped my toe back into the news cycle was this story from Fox News. It's the kind of story seemingly designed to punish me for wanting to stay up on current events in the first place. Here's their report. A Pittsburgh Children's Hospital is under fire after its gender program navigator advocated, whatever that title is supposed to mean, gender program navigator advocated for helping transgender women, quote-unquote trans women, get pregnant by giving reproductive organs to them from live donors. In a presentation on fertility in the LGBTQIA plus community last May that went viral this week, the community navigator for a youth gender program at the University of Pittsburgh Children's Hospital discussed the criteria the medical community uses for gender transition in adolescents, as well as a 2018 study on uterine transplants for transgender patients. Simpson said that trans men assigned female at birth, quote unquote, would discuss the possibility of giving their reproductive organs to trans females. Simpson, who described coming out as transgender 30 years ago, said the research revealed a majority of trans women, quote, would choose to have female physiological experiences such as menstruation and pregnancy with the aid of a vaginal transplant and a uterine transplant. Yes, so the medical industry isn't pulling back from experimental gender reassignment surgeries. No matter their sky-high complication rates, no matter how many people have their lives ruined and are forced to live with crushing regret in their mangled bodies forever, no matter any of that, in fact, the industry instead is going to go the other way. They're going to plunge forward. These surgeries are already dangerous, experimental, horrific, and now they're searching for ways to make them even more so on all three counts. So, here's the video of, we don't need to talk about it and describe it. You can just hear it for yourself. Here's the video of Allison Simpson explaining these, for now, theoretical procedures. Listen.
One area that had not been looked at before in any serious way was, could the donors be live donors? Because in the original study, the conclusion was that they would have to be cadaver-based donors or from individuals who are no longer alive, right? So live donation has been something the community has talked about for decades. It was really seen as magical thinking. This would be a live donation from a person who was assigned female at birth but identified as a transgender man. And they said, well, you know, I have these parts. I don't want them. You want them. You need them. So what if I gave them to you? How would that work? And apparently, based on their research, this is actually viable. Anecdotally, many, but not all, transgender women, especially those who transition younger in life, have expressed an interest in having children in a way that is congruent for their own bodies. But it was still surprising to see the data. It was a fairly large study, as transgender studies go, 182 transgender women, 60% of which were aged in the ideal 20 to 29 age range, and most had no children. 94% indicated they had a desire for children. Most of them reacted very favorably, something like 90 to 80% in favor of various aspects of having a vaginal transplant, having a uterine transplant, and in UTX, this would all be part of the same transplant. The tissue would be preserved from the parts of the vagina all the way to the uterus. Having menstruation, experiencing gestation, and carrying a life inside them.
Oh, it's a life now. Wow. So the baby is a life if the baby's purpose is to appease the depraved, fetishistic desires of mentally ill men who wish to have periods and bear children. This official at a children's hospital assures us that doctors can and should and eventually will start literally harvesting parts from actual women and giving them to men, thus building a sort of Frankenstein hybrid half-man, half-woman. I mean, I wouldn't even want to watch a horror film with a plot line like that. I would say if that plot line existed in a horror film, I would say it's like morally problematic to even watch it as fiction because it's so disturbing and sick. And yet these people want to do it in real life. Now, let me make a few points about this. First of all, if you're wondering why we still don't have a cure for cancer, it could be partly because this is the sort of thing the medical field is focusing its energies on now. Rather than figuring out better ways to treat and heal people who are physically sick, hundreds of millions of dollars are being invested into turning men into women and women into men. Now, you might point out that, well, the medical field can do both, right? It can make Frankenstein monsters and it can try to cure cancer. Well, yeah, theoretically, it can work on curing and treating diseases while also devoting time to putting vaginas on men. That's true. The problem is that these two projects are fundamentally at odds. On the one hand, they're trying to make sick people better, while on the other hand, they're exploiting sick people, mentally sick people in this case, and mangling their bodies horrifically for profit. The medical field can't decide whether the sick ought to be helped and treated or exploited and butchered, so they're sort of doing both. But you can't really answer yes to both questions because this creates a disconnect, a conflict of interest that catastrophically undermines the credibility and integrity of the entire industry. Second, a woman is not just a collection of parts that can be removed and reassembled like a potato head doll. This, of course, is the very reductive materialistic view that the left in general has of the human person, but it's not correct. Along with being reductive and degrading, it's also just not correct. Every part of a woman's body, every part is female, which means that every part is ordered towards conceiving and bearing children. A woman is not a man who happens to have a uterus. She's a woman through and through. Her entire body is designed to carry children. A man's body is not. I mean, for one thing, one example of many, a woman has a wider pelvis and a wider pelvic cavity, which is what allows the child to pass through and be delivered. Okay? So if you want a man to give birth, you're going to have to give him not only a woman's vagina and uterus, but also her pelvis. Or maybe you're going to break his and separate it and then, like, in fact, you have to take every part of her body, basically, and reassemble it on his. And even then, it still wouldn't work, most likely. And even if it could work, okay, let's say in some science fiction scenario, you could actually harvest a woman's parts, like she's an old Buick at a scrapyard, and then use them to give men the capacity to emulate female reproduction, you still would not have actually made the man into a woman. Okay, that is how not a woman a man is. That you could actually, even if you could turn him into a glorified incubator, a Frankenstein monster, a freak of nature, a hideous abomination like this, even if you did all that, he's certainly still not a woman. In the same way, if it were theoretically possible to cut an eagle's wings off and attach them to me, and if somehow I could even fly with the wings, I still wouldn't be an eagle. And I wouldn't be closer to being an eagle. Nobody would look at me and say, well, you're one step closer to being an eagle. No, I'll never be an eagle. In fact, with the wings, I would be just as far from being an eagle as I was before I had them. But consider something else. In order to go down this road and engage in this kind of human experimentation, you would have to be willing to have many failed experiments, many failed attempts. Experiments, you know, often fail many times before they succeed. And in this case, a failed experiment would mean a dead baby. The medical industry must be willing to kill countless babies, must be willing to experiment with the lives of children in order to find some sort of way to satiate this psychotic desire that some men have to menstruate and bear children. You know, and I'm not surprised that the medical industry would be willing to do that. After all, they don't recognize babies as humans to begin with. This only goes to show the ultimate supremacy that has been granted to the desires of trans people. They will make blood sacrifices of children for the sake of those desires. Finally, this all represents, once again, the commodification of the female body and the male body, in fact, and in the most grotesque form we've yet seen. It's something that I find especially appalling after having just a week ago witnessed, again, the miracle of childbirth. And anyone who's ever seen childbirth or gone through it, certainly, knows that it's miraculous, it's incredible. It's a great blessing in many ways, but it's also an enormous sacrifice because the woman gives her body to her unborn child. She experiences the pain of childbirth for his sake. It is a beautiful and loving sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that keeps the human species alive. It's a sacrifice that civilization depends on for its very existence. And so it's all the more perverse and blasphemous that these men want to take the selfless sacrifice of childbirth and turn it into a selfish exercise in self-fulfillment and affirmation. The trans movement dirties and sullies and warps everything it touches. And now it seeks to get its dirty, filthy hands on one of the purest, most remarkable and wonderful things in life, which is its beginning, its conception, its birth. There is, in summation, nothing too sacred for these people to try to make profane. Next up, hundreds of thousands of pro-lifers march on D.C., and Chelsea Handler reveals how stupid she is. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits.
If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. From the Daily Wire, pro-life activists, students, and organizations will gather in Washington, D.C. on Friday for the annual March for Life for the first time since the Supreme Court's historic decision to strike down Roe v. Wade. The gathering comes just days before the 50th anniversary of Roe, in which the Supreme Court declared a constitutional right to abortion. With Roe gone, pro-life groups and legislators now see an opportunity to expand protections for life, even as deep blue states further entrench abortion in their own state laws and constitutions. So the March for Life is happening today. And I'm, of course, very glad that it's still happening, even after Roe was overturned. I knew that it would. There's no reason for it to stop. In fact, there's all the more reason to continue now with Roe gone. It means that there's a real capacity to actually actively save babies and in so many states, which they're already doing. I mentioned the March for Life because, first of all, the media doesn't. The corporate media doesn't. So and it should be mentioned. It is every single year. It's the largest annual protest political demonstration in American history by far. Like nothing else even comes close. And it is newsworthy for that reason every single year, although it's ignored every single year. But I also bring it up because the March for Life is another example of how the pro-life movement, you know, succeeds and has been successful. And how it should be a model for conservatives, for conservative activists who are, you know, focused on other issues. You should be looking at the pro-life movement as a model rather than, as some conservatives have done, trying to like blame them for things. Now, the pro-life movement has been out there for decades. They've been in the trenches, saving babies, and having real successes. Meanwhile, having to endure the finger pointing from other conservatives and constantly getting blamed by establishment Republicans. And then most recently, the midterm didn't go the way Republicans thought it would. And so then some Republicans start blaming pro-lifers like this is our fault. Well, if you guys weren't so opposed to murdering children, maybe we would have been more successful in the election. Rather than blaming pro-lifers, how about looking to them as an example? And one thing that pro-lifers are very good at doing, and that pretty much no other conservatives are good about doing, is showing up in person, getting out there in person, mobilizing, making yourself seen. Now, you're not going to have the media helping you out. We know that for the left, if they've got, if 10 of them, you know, if 15 weirdos for the left gather together and they have bullhorns and they're shouting about something, there's going to be, you know, 70 news cameras there. There's always going to be like, you know, the ratio of news cameras to protesters on the left is always quite extraordinary. So you're not going to have that. You're not going to have the media's help. That's fine. But the good news is that we need the corporate media less and less. We can just circumvent them. Keep in mind, the pro-life movement has been circumventing the media since before social media and the internet were even a thing. And now with that tool, you especially don't need them. So they get out there and they make themselves seen They mobilize in person, and it has an effect. It really matters. It does. It sends a message to the culture. It sends a message to the people that you're opposing. But also, very importantly, it sends a message to people that are on your side. It sends a message to those people that, hey, you're not alone. Look, there are many of us out there. We all feel this way. Let's come together and achieve something. So it has a mobilizing effect for people that are on your side as well. It's one of the principal reasons to have a political rally in the first place is for that. Now, you can always be dismissive of it, and even now, there are conservatives that are dismissive of something like the March for Life, and they say, well, yeah, you can march around with your sign that says don't kill babies, but no one's going to look at that sign and then say, well, because of that sign, I don't believe in abortion anymore. Well, of course not. That's not how it works. But it's not intended to do that. It's intended to do exactly what I just said. And it's not just at the March for Life. I mean, pro-lifers for decades have been mobilizing. So they, you know, you've got the national annual mobilization effort, the big thing, and that's great. But then on a very local level, you have pro-life organizations, pro-life groups, both big and small, in cities all across the country that are out there. You know, they're standing in front of abortion clinics, they're praying in front of abortion clinics, they're opening pregnancy centers. I mean, they're getting mobilized and they're getting involved. And this is what conservatives across the movement need to be doing, using pro-lifers as a model. All right, here's something a little bit more lighthearted. Something that I'm a few days behind on this, I realize, but I think it's important to cover because I do give female comedians a hard time, and yet here's an example of one being funny, you know, actually being funny. This did make me laugh. But laughing at her entirely, to be clear. So here's Chelsea Handler with a startling admission. If you haven't heard this yet, listen.
I didn't know, and this is true, I didn't know until I was 40 years old that the sun and the moon were not the same thing.
I find it hard to believe, but what are you talking about?
I was shocking to me as well. I mean,
of course, it must have been more shocking to you.
I was in Africa. We were on safari. My sister and I were riding an elephant, and there was a man riding an elephant for us because we don't know how to ride an elephant.
Yeah.
And my older sister Simone looked up at the sky, and she said, "Chelsea, look up. It's not often you get to see the sun and the moon at the same time."
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like Scooby-Doo. I'm like, I said, and I go, wait. I go, but they're always together. And as soon as I said that, she turned around. She goes, what did you say? And I was like, oh, shut up. I knew what I said was wrong.
Giddy up, elephant.
I was like, let's canter. Is that what an elephant does?
Oh, my God.
And and she looked at me. She goes, I need you. And I just tried to gloss over it. I was like, never mind what I said. I know. And she said, no, I need you to tell me what you think is happening between the sun and the moon. And I was like, honestly, I just assumed when the sun went down, it popped back up as the moon, you know?
The little costume change.
Like, is that not what's happening? The man riding the elephant spoke no English and went, and he's just like another dumb American, yeah. You know?
No, no, no. Hey, don't put this on us. Another dumb American? You're the only American in the country who thinks that. So don't try to blame the rest of this, but think about how, and she's trying to pass it off as like this silly little anecdote, and you know, they're and yet, you know, there are things, maybe we've all had experiences of some little minute thing that you didn't, you know, like you didn't realize, and then you learned later in life because nobody told you. I don't know. I'm sure people can come up with examples like that. But think about how stupid you have to be. I mean, it's incomprehensibly stupid to think that the sun and the moon are the same thing. My three-year-old daughter knows that that's not the case. She understands that they're two different entities. She may not know a lot else about them, but she knows that at least. So the level of stupidity, how does she breathe? How does she walk? Can she tie her own shoes? These are all live questions now that we need answers to. How do you function in society? How is it that you've never, like,
there are some things that even if you're not taught directly, you'll just you encounter the realities that you encounter in life. How do you avoid that one? But this is also, I didn't look it up, but Chelsea Handler, I'm assuming, at least graduated high school. So this is the modern education system for you. That it's possible in the modern education system for someone to graduate, to go through the education system, and to come out on the other end not knowing that the moon and the sun are two different celestial entities. We'll be right back with more of the Matt Walsh Show after a quick break to hear from the sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlu's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlu's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlu's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlu's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlu's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlu's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
America.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. Washington Post. Bringing cake into the office to share with colleagues is seen by many as an innocent way to celebrate a birthday, share good news, or even showcase one's baking skills. But the top official at Britain's food regulator, speaking in his personal capacity, has suggested that it could be as harmful as secondhand smoke. Professor Susan Jebb says, if nobody brought in cakes into the office, I would not eat cakes in the day. But because people do bring cakes in, I eat them. Oh. This, we need the professor. As a professor, we need the analysis from the professor to tell us that. If there were no cakes, I wouldn't eat a cake. But there is a cake, so I ate the cake. There you go, students. Now give me $100,000 for your tuition. You know, there is also the other option, though. It's like now I admit, that's how the equation works for me also. It works that way for any kind of dessert pastry. It's like, if it's not there, I won't eat it. If it is there, I will eat it. And like, that's all the calculation I need to make. But there is a third option, which is that it could be there and not eat it. That you could really do that. It is physically possible. And then says, we all think we're rational, intelligent, educated people who make informed choices the whole time, and we undervalue the impact of the environment. Okay, so I get what they're going for. So this is what they mean by, you can basically, secondhand cake is a danger we have to look out for. And you don't ingest it the same way you ingest secondhand smoke, but if it's in the environment, like if smoke is in the environment, you inhale it, and they say it's dangerous to you. Well, if cake is in your environment, then because you have no willpower, she's assuming, you will inhale that as well. I have to say, I don't like the reasoning, but I am on board though with the war on cake. And this is actually why I brought it up. I'm on board with it, for it. I agree you shouldn't bring cake into the workplace. I agree that cake should not be the default celebratory dessert because it should be pie. And I've been saying this for so long. I think it's, to my mind, it's one of the most important campaigns that I've embarked on. And I'm 100% right. Everybody knows it. That we all just go along with cake. Yeah. Look again. If cake is there and there's nothing else and there are no other dessert options, I'll eat the cake. Because what am I going to do? Not eat the cake when it's there? Well, I'm not crazy. But if there are other options, I'm going to the other options like most people would. Cake, there's no reason why cake should be, well, it's a birthday, you bring a cake. If there's something to celebrate, it's an anniversary, a wedding, bring a cake. There's no reason for this. There are better dessert dishes that are more widely loved and more consistently good. That's the other problem with cake. Is that with cake quality, there's a wide spectrum, and there are some cakes that are just plain terrible, but even cake at its very best, does not hold a candle to a mediocre pie, or a mediocre brownie, or a mediocre, homemade chocolate chip cookie. And then what about its worst? Like, what's the worst homemade chocolate chip cookie you ever had in your life? You can't remember an occasion because like they're always good. They're not ever bad. A homemade brownie, always good. Pies, most pies are just good. Even if you could pick up a pre-made pie from the grocery store, it's gonna be pretty good. Yeah, you can remember times in your life when you had cake that was plain terrible. And yet we all live under this tyranny of cake. It doesn't make any sense. Let's free ourselves of it. Should be pie. Celebrating a birthday, bring out the pie. wedding, there's no reason why you can't have pie. All right. I'm glad we could talk about this. Next up, instead of our usual daily cancellation, I'm going to take the time to respond to the Steven Crowder and Daily Wire drama you've probably already heard about. Stay tuned.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call Shasta Beam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The full term.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. There is no cancellation today because there's something else that I need to talk about. And this is something that I very much do not want to talk about. The kind of drama that I normally stay out of. And if you watch the show, you know that. But an exception has to be made in this case, because when my friends and allies are dishonestly attacked and unfairly maligned, I am going to defend them. So, Steven Crowder, you've probably heard about the saga by now. In fact, you've heard way more about big money conservative media contracts this week, I imagine, than you ever wanted to or needed to. You probably wake up every morning worried about how you'll care for your family and feed your children. Not so worried about whether rich and famous conservative pundits are happy in their contracts. That's why I don't want to spend much time talking about contracts, but it's important that we lend context. So here's a quick summary. A few days ago, Steven Crowder published a video titled Stop Big Con, where he attacked unnamed conservative media companies who he accused of being essentially con artists in bed with big tech. And the main source of his complaint against, quote, Big Con was a contract offered to him by one company, which he claimed was exploitative and revealed that this company was acting as an enforcement arm for the big tech overlords. And he said that the contract offer was tantamount to slavery. He complained that this company wanted to deduct his pay if he missed a day of work or if he was deplatformed by any of the major social media platforms. He framed this as an unthinkably sinister ploy. He said that it was so upsetting that he's not sure that if he even wants to continue in the business. That's how terrible it was. Now, he didn't name the company, but he gave enough information so that obviously everyone would know that it was a Daily Wire, and they would know it because there was only a few companies it could be. It wasn't the Blaze. He just left the Blaze. It wasn't Fox. You know, he already worked for Fox, and he's gone from there. Also, the Fox doesn't do ad reads with their hosts, so it couldn't be them. It couldn't be any of the nonprofit, you know, conservative groups. So it's like it had to be us. And everyone knew that, and Crowder, of course, knew that everybody would know that. So that put Daily Wire in position. And the next day, our CEO, Jeremy Boring, did the only thing he really could do, and certainly the thing that was the most transparent and honest. And he released a video admitting that this supposedly nefarious contract came from him and from the Daily Wire management team. He then went through the contract line by line, the whole thing. I'm pretty sure this is the first time ever that a CEO of a media company has walked through a talent contract line by line for an hour. Can't get more transparent than that. And so that's what he did, revealed every detail of it so that there could be no confusion. He didn't attack Crowder. He was, you know, said that he respects Crowder, respects the work that he does and all the rest of it. But here's the contract. Here's the truth. He explained that they offered Crowder $50 million for a four-year contract, but the document that Crowder showed on the air in his initial video was not the four-year contract. It was a term sheet. It was an offer in writing, a first salvo in what was supposed to be a negotiation. Crowder wanted, among other things, a lot more money. He wanted $30 million a year, not $50 million for 4 years. That's what he wanted. And, you know, you can't be blamed for that. You're supposed to want more than whatever you're first offered, part of the negotiation. And if you think you can get $120 million, you should ask for it. Okay? If I thought that I could get that, I would go ask for, I want $120 million. Anybody would. But that is what he asked for. As for the penalties that Crowder complained about, as Jeremy explained, they would give him 4 weeks of paid vacation every year. Pretty good amount. But beyond that, they didn't want to pay him for episodes he didn't actually make. And if he lost advertisers or platforms, then obviously his show would make less money, which means that he would make less money. Okay, the initial contract was of course, a calculation based on the initial offer, rather, a calculation based on the revenue that Crowder was expected to bring in. And part of that calculation is looking at the platform access that he has. All of that is monetizable. Crowder monetizes it right now. We all do. And so it's worth something. And so they're making a contract offer based on that. Like, this is how what all that is worth. We're going to pay you this for that. If that goes away, then it doesn't have the same value anymore, because it's not there. Now, the offer wasn't meant to be a charitable donation. If something were to happen causing him to bring in a lot less revenue, then they would want to pay him less income because he makes less. This is a very normal aspect of any business. It's how all businesses operate. It's how Crowder himself operates his own business. It's not shocking or scandalous. Though it should be noted that, according to the term sheet, even if Crowder got demonetized and banned from every platform, the Daily Wire would still pay him millions of dollars a year to make content for the Daily Wire's platform. And please note that if he didn't want his money to be tied to ad performance and platform reach, you know, that's one way to structure a contract. It's not the only way. And if he didn't want that, he could have negotiated for a lower base salary, which would still be millions a year, in exchange for guarantees that he would receive it regardless of those factors. This, again, in any kind of contract situation, if you want guaranteed salary is one thing. If you want incentive-based salary, that's going to be higher. But if you don't want to be beholden to any incentive or anything like that, then it's going to be a lower salary because it's guaranteed. And there's a risk for the company that they're guaranteeing it no matter what you do. If you lose money, whatever happens, we're going to guarantee this. Well, that's a risk, so it's going to be a little bit less. Could have countered with that. He didn't, and instead he went public. Now, the next day, after Jeremy released his video, Crowder responded with another video. After having accused the Daily Wire of being in bed with big tech based on a mangled reading of extremely normal contract language, and having essentially accused his friends, Jeremy and Ben, who he's known for a decade and who have supported him many times over the years, of being sellouts and con artists, he then played snippets of a phone call that he had with Jeremy, which he secretly recorded. In the call, Jeremy says most of what he said publicly in his first response video. The big gotcha apparently is that Jeremy, in this casual and he thought private conversation with a friend, said that new content creators have to come on and be, quote, wage slaves for a little bit until they build up enough of a brand to be worth the kind of money that Crowder is. Very normal. You got to earn your way. You have to earn your way in the business. That's another way of putting it. Wage slave is a normal expression that most of us have used. It's not offensive, but which is supposed to be so sinister coming from Jeremy's mouth that it justified publicly releasing a private phone conversation with a friend who trusts you or trusted you. In the phone conversation, Crowder sticks up for the up-and-coming young creators who he says he's most concerned about. He says that he wants to teach the Daily Wire how to run their business. He knows the way to do it, and Daily Wire doesn't. He wants to tell them how to do it. He says that he doesn't want to be beholden to big tech. He wants to be liberated from it. He presents this as a revelatory idea and one that the Daily Wire somehow disagrees with. Of course, he says all this in a conversation that he knew he was recording, and he knew he would release it to an audience because that's why you record it. He also insisted that the Daily Wire should adopt his business model of trying to get away from big tech dependence, which doesn't make a lot of sense because that is the Daily Wire's business model. We have built up a subscriber base of 1 million plus with the intent of creating our own institution. This has been the Daily Wire's business model since long before they made an offer to him. You know, this is something that in the company meetings that Jeremy has with all staff here, including myself, that are live streamed for the public to see. Okay, this is talked about all the time, that this is our goal, to become an institution. The left has all the institutions, the right doesn't have any, and so we want to be our own, so we're not beholden to these big tech companies. In fact, bringing Steven Crowder on board was supposed to be in service to that ultimate goal, but it's a goal that takes time, and it requires money, and a lot of it. And in the meantime, we do indeed depend partly on sites like YouTube to access an audience and generate revenue. Of course we do. So does Steven Crowder. So does nearly every conservative media company and personality. Yeah, that's the issue, right? That's the problem we all recognize, is that we're all dependent on these platforms. They own everything. And we want to get away from that. But that's a strategy. It's a game plan. It takes time. You have to stick with it. You can't just snap your fingers and say, I'm independent now. You could do that. But if you haven't taken the time and put the groundwork in place, you'll get crushed. We want to be the first to be entirely independent of all these platforms, or among the first to be entirely independent of all these platforms. But again, that takes time. We nearly doubled our subscriber base last year. I mean, it is doubtful that any other subscription service in existence grew at that rate. So we're going as fast as we can. I mean, we're going faster than almost anybody, and yet it still takes time. Okay, so here's what I want to say about all this. That was all 10 minutes of context, but I felt like it's been, you know, you need to hear it. As for Crowder, I don't know him. I've never met him. I never had an issue with him before. I think he's a great talent. I think he's an effective communicator. I also think, I know, that he is intentionally misrepresenting the Daily Wire and its business model. And I even more think and know that calling a friend and an ally and secretly recording it and using it against him in public is the lowest thing I've ever seen anyone do in this business, and I've seen people do some very low things. Keep in mind that the recorded call came weeks after the contract negotiations ended amicably between Crowder and DW. It was over. They had both gone separate ways. Okay, he wanted money they couldn't pay. So they just went separate ways. It happens. It happens in business. Everyone had moved on, we thought. And then Steven Crowder called Jeremy weeks and weeks after and said, I got to talk to you. And Jeremy called him, and they started talking about their family and their kids, and Crowder was recording it the whole time. He already had bought the Stop Big Con domain name. He already had this plan in place. So he called him specifically to get him to say the things that he could use against him, trying to lay the trap that he could use in public. And as I said, it was before this, actually, that he registered the Stop Big Con website, clearly showing what the plan was. So Jeremy got set up by a man that he has known and helped promote constantly over the years. That's what happened. But let's get to my actual point. There are many accusations flying around about Jeremy Boring, about Ben Shapiro, about the company they founded together. All the accusations center around the claim that they are exploiting their talent. They are suppressing and stifling us, and they're only interested in the bottom line rather than fighting for the culture. These accusations are being made by some people who absolutely know better, In many cases by people who Jeremy and Ben have befriended and promoted and helped, only to now be stabbed in the back by them in public. But the accusations are also being amplified by people who don't know better, people in the audience who are caught in the middle trying to make heads or tails of it. And it's for the benefit of that latter group that I now want to say a few things about my own experience at the Daily Wire, because I was myself a young, up-and-coming content creator when I joined the company 5 years ago. So I'm that guy that Steven Crowder is pretending to be concerned about. That's me. Here I am. Hello. Today I have one of the top news commentary podcasts in the country. I didn't start that way. So I think my perspective is relevant to this conversation. Though I realize that I'm in a lose-lose situation, because if I ignore all of this and I say nothing in defense of Jeremy and the company, my silence will be taken as an admission that the attacks are true. But if I speak up, then the critics will simply assume that I'm only saying this because I was forced to. There is nothing I can say or do. That's the game here, right? This is the game we find ourselves in this business sometimes. The game is there is nothing I can say or do that won't confirm whatever the critics already thought. So be it. If I have to take the lumps here, either way, I might as well do the right thing and speak up for the men that I respect and a company that I'm grateful to work for. To that end, I will say that the Daily Wire brought me into the fold back when I was a relatively unproven former blogger with no platform aside from my Facebook page. That's all that I had at the time. And they gave me an opportunity. They didn't give me success. Nobody can give you that. I'd have to work for that. And it would be a collaborative effort involving an entire team. But they would give me the opportunity to reach success. Far from being exploited, you know, far from exploiting me or trying to suppress my ideas, they instead kept me around. They kept paying me. They invested more and more in me. They gave me free rein to talk about anything I wanted to talk about. While my platform and profile grew very slowly at first, my podcast turned basically no profit and had a very small audience for multiple years. And they gave me all that time to prove myself because they believed in me and saw the potential that at times, if I'm being honest, even I struggled to see in myself. 2 years ago, the show finally started to gain traction. And that's thanks not just, of course, to my own contributions, but to the work of the team DW put around me, especially my producer, Sean. And a year ago, we started to grow even faster after the Dr. Phil interview, an interview which, by the way, was offered originally to Ben Shapiro. It was a great interview offer. Okay, that Dr. Phil appearance was a perfect environment for someone like us to be put on that panel talking about that issue. And it would have been great for Ben. Ben passed it to me because he wanted me to have the opportunity. Then What Is a Woman hit and we reached a whole new level. Every step of the way, I've been supported by Jeremy, Ben, the whole team here at the Daily Wire. I've had complete and total freedom to discuss whatever issues I want to discuss for as long as I want to talk about them, in whatever way I want to talk about them, and to be myself for better or worse. And anyone who listens to this show or follows me on Twitter knows that. Okay? I will die on every hill. I will talk about anything. I will say anything, again, for better or worse. I wouldn't be where I am without this team, without Jeremy, without the Daily Wire. That's the honest truth. And you should know that. More importantly, and this is the most important thing, together here at the Daily Wire, we are fighting for the country, for the culture. We're achieving real success. In just the past 12 months, the Daily Wire, and this is a partial list, helped to defeat Biden's vax mandate, released one of the most culturally influential documentaries of the century, took down Vanderbilt's child gender clinic. We took it down. We did that. We held the largest anti-gender ideology rally in the country, resulting in a ban on child mutilation across the entire state. We invested tens of millions of dollars into children's content to compete with woke companies like Disney. We launched a product line to compete directly with an advertiser who tried to cancel us. If you go back another year, year and a half, you'll find us exposing a major cover-up in Loudoun County, mobilizing a movement that helped flip the entire state red. That's what we're doing. We have had more tangible achievements in the past 2 years than any other conservative media company or personality, and it's not close. And I defy you to give me an example that would refute what I just said. This is not bragging. That's just a factual statement. That's what we've been doing. Nobody else is doing it. We're not just talking. There are a lot of people in this business who like to say that they're fighting. Everyone uses it. I know sometimes it's like just white noise when you hear people like us say, oh, we got to fight, we got to fight, we got to fight. It's white noise after a while because you've noticed that most of the people saying they're fighting, they're not actually doing anything. They're just talking into a camera. They're not doing anything else. They're not out there doing anything. But we are. We're racking up real wins. And we're doing it with your investment and your support. And we need a lot more of it. We've been very open about that. Very open about what the plan is. This is still ground floor level that we're at. We know that. And I'd like to get back to that now. I'd like to get back to the battles that actually matter, battles that I will fight alongside anyone who has the same goals as me. I don't care who they are. That includes Steven Crowder or anyone else. So my proposal, my term sheet proposal, is that we put this all aside now and we get back to trying to save the country, which is what matters to me. That's all the time we have for today and also this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The 50th annual March for Life was held Friday on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., with thousands of marchers taking part. Correspondent Greg Clugston was in downtown Washington, D.C. for the rally.
Scanning the crowd here on the National Mall, you can see that folks have traveled here to Washington from all across the country, looking at banners from Louisiana, Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, nearby Virginia and Maryland, and many people holding signs that say, "Love life, choose life."
This year's march was the first following the Supreme Court's overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision. A conservative Christian wireless service company had a presence at the annual March for Life. Scott Coburn is with Patriot Mobile.
Every year we're here in force. We brought about 10 people here. In the past, we sponsored all of the March for Life, Stand for Life. This year, we're sponsoring Students for Life for America. There's their pro-life summit. And it's more about just being here to support the crowd here and just let people know what we're doing.
Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations that fight for religious freedom, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise celebrated the overturning of Roe v. Wade as well. The Louisiana Republican addressed the crowd at this year's rally, urging March participants to back pro-life candidates and to push senators to support the Born Alive bill that recently passed the House. The bill would require doctors to give babies born after attempted abortions medical care. The bill's unlikely to pass in the Democrat-controlled Senate. Food and Drug Administration will not grant accelerated approval for Eli Lilly's experimental Alzheimer's drug. It's due to the limited number of patients who took the drug for at least a year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Yeah. First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Clashes between demonstrators and police in Peru erupt Thursday during a national strike day.
Police fired tear gas to try to subdue thousands of protesters who have poured into the Peruvian capital, many from remote Andean regions. Demonstrators scuffling with security forces who barred them from reaching key government buildings, including Congress, as well as business and residential districts of the capital, Lima. During a national broadcast, Boluarte said there was no real benefit in the demands behind the protests and the chaos and disorder aimed to take over the government. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The New York City Council approves the so-called Skip the Stuff bill, which aims to reduce plastic waste. The bill would ban restaurants from handing out utensils and condiment packets and takeout and delivery orders unless requested by the customer. News and analysis at townhall.com. A top United Nations official believes progress is being made towards reversing bans on women taking part in public life in Afghanistan.
Amina Mohammed described her talks here as very tough. She told us she'd made it clear it wasn't enough for the Taliban to use the phrase, as they often do, that edicts were in place until further notice. That could mean decades, she said. She said the language changed during her visit. They were now working on concrete details of allowing women to work in specific aid sectors, such as disaster relief and agriculture, even if the ban was not fully reversed. In the Taliban government, it's the hardline views of the most conservative senior clerics which matter most.
BBC correspondent Lise Doucette. Two skiers recovering after being caught in an avalanche near a Lake Tahoe ski resort entered an area located outside the Heavenly Mountain Resort boundary. More.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. With our annual programs last year, we were able to send over 400 packages around the world to active duty military personnel. Throughout 2022, you helped us provide services to over 3,500 senior veterans in need. We're grateful to everyone, from businesses, to the media, to all individuals. Please know that your donations are critical to the success of our mission. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. And as always, thank you for your support.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, I'm sure many of you have seen the controversy that has broken out between, I would say, our former friend Stephen Crowder and those of us here at the Daily Wire. And it makes me sick to my stomach. I know that my business partner, Jeremy Boring, has made him sick to his stomach as well, because we had always considered Stephen a friend. I was Stephen's first lawyer. I helped negotiate his contract with Fox News, going all the way back. It's got to be at least over a decade. And Stephen and I had always been very friendly. I know Jeremy was even friendlier with Stephen. Had counseled him in very rough times. I had personally attempted to intervene when Stephen was demonetized in June 2019 on YouTube. I actually sounded off so loudly that the people at YouTube reached out to me, and Susan Wojcicki, the head of YouTube, got on the phone with me, and I reamed her out over demonetizing Stephen. And I hope it made a difference. Now, look, I think that Stephen is an incredibly talented comedian. I also think that what he is doing to my friend Jeremy Boring right now is one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen in politics. It really is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. In order to understand what's happening, I think you have to understand a couple of things. So for those who missed the story, basically, we offered Stephen a term sheet, a non-binding term sheet. A non-binding term sheet is exactly what it sounds like. It is a list of terms for a proposed negotiation for a contract. And then negotiation happens, then you come to a final contract. That is what a non-binding term sheet is. His agent had solicited us to make him an offer. This is when he was in his closing days with the Blaze. And so we sent him over a non-binding term sheet for $50 million over the course of 4 years, with an additional two-year option at $25 million. That is, as it sounds like, a lot of money. But we thought that Stephen is worth it, because Stephen is, again, an incredibly talented guy with a very, very large following. And if you want to hear the actual terms of the term sheet, all you have to do is go to the description on this particular video or head on over to YouTube, and you can see my business partner, Jeremy Boring, read the terms word for word. Stephen's original video in which he attacked us. So this week, Stephen attacked Jeremy Boring and attacked the Daily Wire and suggested that if we had essentially offered him an enslavement contract that would have robbed him of all of his freedom and made him subject to the whims of big tech and all the rest of this kind of bullshit. And, it's just not true. Jeremy, unlike Stephen, read the entire text of the term sheet on the air and goes through it piece by piece and explains exactly how it works. And in short, all the contract says is, we are offering you this gigantic sum of money. And if you start to lose money for the company and for yourself because you lose YouTube, for example. Then we both lose money, so you lose some money. Because this is typically how contracts work. On this show, for example, if I lose advertisers and the revenue of the show goes down, then I lose revenue personally because the revenue of the show has gone down. So again, if you want the details, the legalistic details of all this, you can check out Jeremy's video. It is absolutely comprehensive and irrefutable because again, he reveals, I've never seen anybody else do this, he reveals literally the entirety of the what was supposed to be confidential term sheet that Stephen decided to partially leak for his own benefit. And this is the part that's really ugly. Okay, so the part that's really ugly is the betrayal of friendship. So last night, Stephen Crowder, in response to Jeremy reading the entire term sheet and saying somehow Stephen misconstrued this and is using this to attack us and launch a website called Stop Big Con as though we are in the pocket of big tech. We are in the pocket of big tech. We who have invested literally tens of millions of dollars building alternatives to big tech. We who put up people like Matt Walsh and Candace Owens and my show. We who have been attacked by Facebook and have been attacked in the legacy media all the time and who are routinely demonetized. Well, yes, nailed it. We were in the pocket of big tech. This was Stephen's line of attack. And supposedly, this line of attack came from that term sheet, right? The idea was that the term sheet was doing the work of big tech because the term sheet suggested that if he got demonetized from YouTube and we both lost money, that he would also lose money. What he apparently wanted us to do was continue to pay him extraordinary sums of money, even if the show was losing money, which is called a charity. It is not called a business. The hardest thing to do in the conservative movement or anywhere else is to, one, run a successful business, and two, make a difference. We here at Daily Wire do both things. In fact, we try to generate a profit so we can continue to make a difference. And it turns out when you lose money, you don't actually have the wherewithal or the resources in order to do things, like spend enormous quantities of money making What is a Woman by Matt Walsh, or making The Greatest Lie Ever Sold by Candace Owens, or funding the investigative reporters who shift the Virginia gubernatorial race by uncovering what happens in Loudoun County, or put out good information each and every day to rebut the evils of the Biden administration, or spend the millions of dollars it takes to sue the Biden administration to stop the OSHA vax mandate or any of that kind of stuff. That costs money. And in order to make that money, you have to run a business. You can't run a charity for your hosts. That apparently is what Stephen wanted. But Stephen decides that this is supposedly his story is that he was so offended by the term sheet, he just had to speak out. He had to stand up for the little guy, right? Okay, there are a bunch of problems with this. I was willing to stay silent on all of this, generally speaking, and not get into the weeds and not get into Stephen's personal conduct until the point when he personally recorded a phone call with my best friend, Jeremy Boring, and then proceeded to release that publicly. That is disgusting. It is disgusting and it is vile on a pure human level. Jeremy, again, has gone out of his way for Stephen more times than I can count. He has counseled Stephen personally. And Stephen decided in premeditated fashion that he was going to tape his friend and then release it to grow his email list. It is that simple. And I'll show you the timeline here, because the case here is that, again, this term sheet that he got so offended by it, he just had to speak up. He couldn't be held back any longer. He had to speak up on behalf of the little guy. Okay, I'm going to read you the timeline of what happened during this negotiation and when he decided to tape his friend, his supposed friend, Jeremy Boring. So here is the timeline here. October 5th. 2022 is when we sent Stephen the supposedly evil term sheet. So evil. So you would imagine that if the term sheet was that evil, October 6th, he couldn't have held back. How could you guys do this? October 5th is when we sent him this term sheet offering him $50 million over 4 years plus a 2-year extension for 25 mil. You know, basketball player type money. On November 2nd, Stephen called up Jeremy and said, I want $30 million a year and a bunch of changes to the term sheet. I'm not going to redline the term sheet. I'm not going to edit the term sheet. I just want you to send me a brand new offer. On November 6th, 4 days later, remember, this is after he's already sounded off, he's got the term sheet, he's had it for a month. November 6th was election night. You'll recall, if you're a Daily Wire fan, Stephen Crowder appeared on our election night coverage. Everything was very friendly. Everything was very chummy. Everything was great. November 14th, or thereabouts, we decided that we couldn't meet his demands. That his demands were not rational in business terms, that he wanted too much money, and all the rest of it. So we let him know. You know, no hard feelings. We're still friends, just like we do in every contract negotiation. As Tim Pool said on his show last night, you know, we've had contract negotiations with Tim, and we disagreed, and we went our separate ways, and we still like Tim. Tim still likes us, and all the rest. Okay, so November 14th or thereabouts, we told Stephen that we couldn't meet his demands. Fast forward another month, December 12th, he registered the site Stop Big Con. Okay, that's when he registered it. Remember, October 5th is when he received the terms. November 14th is when we said we could not meet his demands. December 12th is when he registered Stop Big Con because he knew that 3 days later he was going to be announcing that he was leaving the Blaze. He needed a plan, and attacking us was the plan. December 15th, he announced he was leaving the Blaze. A month after that, he texted Jeremy in friendly fashion to ask if they could talk. On January 9th, he called Jeremy and proceeded to tape him. Without permission, without Jeremy's knowledge, he proceeded to tape a person who was supposedly his friend. And remember, this is all based on the passion of the upset that he had over a term sheet that was submitted to him on October 5th. It is a month. It's actually 36 days after. So January 17th is when he launches Stop Big Con. So just to get the timeline straight, because this is what we would call a premeditated move in an attempt to grow your email list. This means 104 days elapsed between when Steven Crowder received the term sheet that we submitted to him and when he launched Stop Big Con. 104 days. And it means that 36 days elapsed between when he decided to attack Daily Wire and Jeremy by purchasing Stop Big Con and when he called Jeremy to tape him. So that means well over 3 months elapsed, again, between when he received this egregiously evil term sheet, which, by the way, is not egregiously evil. The term sheet is perfectly legitimate. It was the basis for further negotiation. There have been moves on both sides, but there's nothing wrong with saying to a person who produces a show, one, you have to produce a certain number of shows, and if you don't, we're not going to pay you for the shows that you don't produce. And two, if your show begins to lose money, you also lose money. This is how business works. This is how the media works. This is how capitalism works. We are not communists. We do not pay people in order to not generate revenue. We cannot run a business and keep it functional and employ 300 people and have the money to spend on all the wonderful projects that we like to do, on the $100 million we're going to spend on kids' content, on the suing of Joe Biden's administration. We can't do any of that stuff unless we are a profitable company. We don't pay people just for the fun of it. So that means this is totally premeditated. It is an attempt to grow an email list by deliberately misconstruing terms of a perfectly legitimate non-binding term sheet for a person that I personally and Jeremy have gone out of our way to help multiple times. A person who then claims that we are the big shills for YouTube, right? We're the ones who are shilling for big tech. So what's his claim on that? His claim is that we're shilling for big tech by saying that if you get banned from YouTube and we lose money because of that, then you also lose money. Well, I noticed that someone else makes the vast bulk of his living via the exposure he receives on YouTube, and his name is Steven Crowder. Steven has a bigger following on YouTube than I do. He has a massive following on YouTube. He's a YouTube superstar. He has 6 million followers on YouTube. He doesn't want to be banned on YouTube. By the way, he doesn't have to be demonetized in order to continue. The demonetization does not mean he doesn't indirectly make money on YouTube. The exposure he receives on YouTube allows him to push people to Mug Club. He knows this. This is why he has a pissed off YouTube segment, which is smart. Right? He does the same thing on his show that I do on my show. Exactly the same thing. You will hear me on the show when I discuss COVID say, I'm about to say a bunch of things I can't say on YouTube. So head on over to Daily Wire Plus and subscribe and hear the rest of it. Steven does the same thing. He says, I'm going to have my pissed off YouTube segment in which he avoids saying the things that'll get him permanently banned on YouTube, but directs people to his site. So is he a shill for big tech? Is he a shill for big tech? Because if he were really not a shill for big tech, apparently, he would just say whatever he wants any day. He would just say it any day. And if they knock him off, they knock him off. But he's not doing that because he's not a moron. Steven's not a moron. He apparently is just a bad person who tapes his friends and then releases the tapes for personal gain. I'm personally insulted by Steven's behavior here. I'm more insulted. It has nothing to do with me because he hasn't actually said anything about me. It has to do with you don't get to attack my best friend and suggest that my best friend is some sort of shill for big tech when we spend every day, literally every day in this business, attempting to fight big tech and to win. When you spend every day trying to bring good content to people who can't get it in a lot of other ways and build a business, who go out of our way to make offers to people for tens of millions of dollars so they can continue to provide the content that you want, tens of millions of dollars to people like Steven Crowder. I don't see a lot of other people walking across the table to make this offer to Steven Crowder. The easiest thing to do in our particular industry is to attack your friends and make money off of that. The hardest thing to do in our industry is to win at business and to win against the left. And those two things are simultaneous because if you lose money, you can't keep operating and fight the agenda of the left. It makes me nauseous to be talking about this. Honestly, it makes me sick to be talking about this. I'm sad for Steven that he feels the necessity to plan for months apparently to attack his friends, to try to grow an email list in the most cynical possible fashion, and tape his friends on the phone, and then release that public. Who does that? Who does that? Is that something you do? I mean, let me just ask you on a personal level. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taped your friends? Is that a thing that you do? You text your friend just so you can set them up on tape, and then you selectively release parts of the tape to try to make them look bad. It failed, by the way. And you lie about the terms that you are offered in order to grow your email list and look like the truest conservative in all the land. The man who's truly standing up, well, by the way, not being banned from YouTube, he explicitly says on his show that he does not say things on YouTube, so he will not be banned on YouTube. But when we say the same thing to him, apparently it's super bad. Or alternatively, this is one of the all-time planned attacks for monetization I have ever seen. And doing it by attacking a person like Jeremy, who's been extremely kind to Stephen, is just vile at the highest possible level. It's personally repulsive. It's absolutely repulsive. We'll get to more on this in just one second. But first, we all hope we'll never need life insurance. But the simple fact of the matter is that we are all going to die. And this means that probably at some point in the future, your family is going to need to make up for lost ground if, God forbid, you are taken too soon. Mortgage payments, childcare, other expenses, they don't just disappear after you die. Life insurance through your workplace might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Since life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, now would be the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal information is private. I've got life insurance. You should have life insurance as well. It's the responsible thing to do. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty. Now, on to regular news. Coming up, speaking of good work the Daily Wire is doing, our investigative reporter Luke Rosiak, he's broken another shocking story. We'll get into that in just a moment. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hello friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge, this is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, one of our best reporters here at the Daily Wire is Luke Rosiak. Has another shocking story. So, here is the story. Apparently, the state of Maryland refused to give a Virginia runaway back to her parents because her parents, quote-unquote, misgendered her. And then she was sex trafficked, according to the mom. These are the wages of a state that values gender ideology nonsense over the actual safety of children. Now, here is what Luke reports. Quote, a 14-year-old transgender runaway from Virginia endured a six-month nightmare that saw her twice fall into the hands of sex traffickers, the second time after Baltimore bureaucrats refused to return her to her home state because they accused her adoptive parents of misgendering her, according to records reviewed by the Daily Wire. The child, identified in legal documents as Sage, was adopted by her biological grandmother, Michelle Blair, after the death of her father. Long troubled, Sage began identifying as a male named Draco and ran away from their rural home in late August of 2021, only to end up on the mean streets of Baltimore, where authorities rescued her from a convicted sex offender, according to records. So she ran away from home. She ended up in Maryland. She was in the home of a convicted sex offender, and the authority found her. But instead of taking her back to her parents, instead they decided to put her in an inner-city group home. Why? Well, because they said that her adoptive blood relative parents didn't sufficiently recognize her transgender identity. It is not possible to return the child to that home, said Judge Robert B. Kershaw, after an impassioned plea from Baltimore Assistant Public Defender Anissa Khan. Instead, the judge turned Sage over to the Baltimore City Department of Juvenile Services, quote, for placement in a hardware-secure therapeutic facility, which makes reasonable accommodation for respondents' expressed male gender and desire to live as a trans male. Remember, this is a 14-year-old child. That meant housing the girl just rescued from a sex offender with some of Baltimore's most troubled biological males. After months in Maryland institutions, Sage bolted, only to resurface in Texas, where she once again had been allegedly trafficked to pedophiles, according to records. Unlike their counterparts in Maryland, Texas officials returned her to her parents, according to an ethics complaint that was filed by the parents against the public defender. Khan allegedly told the girl to lie about being abused by her parents, seemingly in order to create a legal precedent allowing states, other than where a teen lives, to refuse to return a runaway teen if transgender issues are in play. The accusation is that the Baltimore Assistant Public Defender Anissa Khan encouraged this very troubled 14-year-old girl, who is now identifying as a boy, to claim abuse at the hands of her adoptive close relative parents so that she would not be returned to those people, mainly because they say that she's actually a girl and not a boy. Being the subject of an interstate tug-of-war driven by an ideological leftist bureaucracy was a new kind of exploitation for Sage, who had become accustomed to evil men seeking to use her for profit or gratification. Her grandmother recounted for police how the cruel spiral began for the child she still hopes to raise. I went to wake up my daughter, Blair said, describing the morning of August 25th, 2021, in an Appomattox County Sheriff's Office report. She was gone. The window screen had been cut open. I immediately looked everywhere, and they drove to the Appomattox Sheriff to report Sage missing. Sage would later reveal she sneaked out to meet someone she thought was a 16-year-old boy who liked skateboarding, but the person was in fact a sex offender who had been grooming her online and took her to Washington and then to Baltimore, according to Michelle. A frantic search that included the Sheriff's Office, FBI, Virginia State Police, and U.S. Marshals ended 1 week later, when Sage was found in Baltimore with Kenneth Fisher, a 36-year-old convicted sex offender. In the week she'd been missing, Sage experienced untold horror at his hands. Blair would later write in a victim impact statement, quote, when Sage was delivered to this man, he told my daughter she was now part of his family. Sage replied she was only 14 years old and please don't rape me, to which Kenneth Fisher immediately took her into his bedroom and violently raped her. He enjoyed strangling her, but not quite to death. This sick man trafficked her to so many men that Sage lost count. Fisher is now being housed in jail, but he was not the last adult to exploit Sage because after Sage was found, Blair drove all night to pick her up. But the city of Baltimore said she was being held in jail as a defendant, apparently for running away. Her court-appointed lawyer was Khan, whose LinkedIn page says, quote, defense attorneys become the heroes of justice as they were called to stand in the gap between the coercive power of the state and the relatively limited power of the indigent accused who were and are still disproportionately black and Latinx. It was Khan who persuaded Judge Kershaw not to return Sage to her home in Virginia after her 72-year-old grandfather, overcome by emotion, accidentally called her she. Ironically, Blair is a longtime court-appointed child advocate, ordinarily making her an ideal trusted parent. But the Maryland Juvenile Court maintained her home was abusive, even after a local Virginia agency's investigation found no such mistreatment. Blair believes Khan was intent on making her daughter a poster child in the fight for trans rights above parental rights, no matter the cost. A week after ruling that Sage could not be sent back to Virginia, Kershaw received a form asserting Blair's right of custody and the obligation of the state of Maryland to turn her over under the Interstate Compact on juveniles, the ICJ. Kershaw rejected it on a technicality. Kershaw, careful to use Sage's preferred masculine pronoun and new name, also faulted the petition for failing to, quote, state the circumstances of Draco's running away or his location at the time the application was made. Kershaw ordered Sage fitted with a GPS monitor and sent to an institution called the Children's Home. It seems that Draco then ran away again. Sage ran away again and found herself in Texas, where she was then trafficked to a bunch of pedophiles. So the trans agenda taking precedence over any interests of the child. If this is a systemic problem across the country, we are in a world of trouble, and so are our children. Just a horrifying story. That's the kind of work that we're doing over at Daily Wire, uncovering that sort of stuff. So good on Luke Rosiak, our investigative reporter, for uncovering another bombshell. Alrighty, coming up, Alec Baldwin has now been charged with involuntary manslaughter. We'll go through the details. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
A
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune into Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
And there was live ammo in the gun. And he ended up killing the cinematographer. The New York Times reports for more than a year, the actor Alec Baldwin has tried to defend himself against the suggestion he bore responsibility for the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of Rust, a low-budget Western he was filming on the outskirts of Santa Fe, New Mexico. He told detectives he had been assured the gun he was rehearsing with that day did not contain live ammo, sat down for an extensive TV interview, sought indemnification for financial liability in the case, and then sued crew members on the film, claiming they were the ones responsible for handing him a loaded gun. But on Thursday, prosecutors said they would charge him with two counts of involuntary manslaughter in the killing of the cinematographer, Alina Hutchins, 42, saying they believed he had a duty to ensure the revolver was safe to handle. Andrea Reeb, special prosecutor appointed by Santa Fe County's district attorney to help handle the case, said, quote, "We're trying to make definitely clear that everybody's equal under the law, including A-listers like Alec Baldwin. We also want to make sure the safety of the film industry is addressed and things like this don't happen again." The film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who loaded the gun that day and was responsible for weapons on the set, will also be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter. The film's first assistant director, Dave Halls, who handed Baldwin the gun, agreed to a plea deal on the charge of negligent use of a deadly weapon. So a lot of people were pretty surprised by this because they said, well, hold up, Baldwin was handed a loaded gun, and he had no reason to believe that there was actually live ammo in the gun. SAG-AFTRA, a union that represents film, TV, and radio workers, said that the death of this particular cinematographer was a preventable tragedy, but it was not a failure of duty or a criminal act on the part of any performer. So here are some of the prosecutors talking about Baldwin. Originally, you'll remember that Baldwin claimed he didn't even pull the trigger, that the trigger sort of pulled itself. And some of the prosecutors are like, oh, well, that's not true.
I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
The Santa Fe County District Attorney and Special Prosecutor telling Judge Janine that Baldwin isn't being truthful, and they say Hutchins would be alive if he had done his job.
We definitely believe he pulled the trigger. The FBI lab report confirms that, so definitely the trigger was pulled.
Well, I mean, clearly the trigger was pulled. Guns don't fire themselves, contrary to popular opinion. The DA, Mary Carmack Altwies, said that Baldwin should have checked the gun and the projectiles, and that's why this is effectively his responsibility.
But if you have an actor with what he or she thinks is a prop gun, not a real gun, is that actual negligence if it turns out that gun can actually shoot?
It's more than that. Every person that handles a gun has a duty to make sure that if they are going to handle that gun point it at someone and pull the trigger, that it is not going to fire a projectile and kill someone. And this is really about justice for Helena Hutchins. We've talked to many actors, A-list and otherwise, that have said that they always check their guns, that, or they have someone check it in front of them.
Okay, now, obviously there are other actors who suggest that that's not in fact the case. The statute in New Mexico is relatively vague, and it depends on sort of what you consider his legal duty. According to the New Mexico statute on involuntary manslaughter, they say that involuntary manslaughter consists of a lawful act, commission of a lawful act, which might produce death in an unlawful manner or without due caution and circumspection. So the question is this without due caution and circumspection? What the prosecutors presumably are going to have to prove is that there is a duty for Baldwin to actually check the loading of the gun. And so somebody else was responsible for it, or is he responsible for it? Privately, a police report said he had lamented to a detective that if, quote, your name becomes associated with something, nobody wants to work with you anymore. Nobody. Obviously, it's, you know, we'll see how this trial falls out. I don't actually know the answer as to, on set, who is responsible for ensuring that the guns that you use are actually unloaded. I actually kind of find it somewhat hard to believe, actually, that actors are to be tasked with determining whether the guns they are being handed are loaded or not. I mean, that seems like an act of dramatic irresponsibility on the part of whomever the advisor to the film is, the person who's doing the technical advising, who actually makes sure that the guns are supposedly unloaded. Baldwin says himself that it's not the practice for actors to check their own guns. But we'll keep an eye on that developing story because it obviously is of some interest. Alec Baldwin's lawyers, for their part, say they're confident they'll win because, again, the idea is that he's not responsible for checking the ammo. Now, you're responsible on a personal level, by the way, for checking your own ammo, but apparently Alec Baldwin is not. I don't know the answer to this on a set. I just don't. Meanwhile, speaking of people who are claiming accident, but this time actually don't actually get to claim accident, that would be Joe Biden. So Joe Biden came out yesterday, and he said that he has no regrets, none, about his handling of classified documents, which is kind of shocking considering that classified documents were found in his possession, in his garage, in his office, in the Penn Biden Center for Chinese Donations. Here is Joe Biden yesterday claiming that he has nothing, there's no regrets, man. He's going to get a neck tattoo that says just that.
As we found a handful of documents were filed in the wrong place. We immediately turned them over to the archives and the Justice Department. We're fully cooperating, looking forward to getting this resolved quickly. I think you're going to find there's nothing there. I have no regrets. I'm following what the lawyers have told me they want me to do. It's exactly what we're doing. There's no there there. Thank you.
Well, I mean, there is a there there. In fact, there are classified documents there, and the question is how they got there. And the other question is how they got found. Because typically, again, when you are moving boxes from one place to another, you don't typically open, like, all your boxes of documents. When, especially you're, like, a low-level worker, you're a mover. You're called to the place to move out of the Penn Biden Center for Chinese Grift and to move those boxes, presumably, to Joe Biden's Corvette garage or something. You don't typically, like, is like the college hunks for hire checking out the classified information in the boxes? And the answer is no. It was Joe Biden's lawyers who were going through the boxes. So the question is, do you hire lawyers when you're moving? I've never hired lawyers when I'm moving. It's not a thing that I typically do because their hourly rates are extraordinarily high. But that is how they uncovered all these documents in the first place. Meanwhile, CNN doing its best to cover for Joe Biden. Well, you know, this kind of stuff happens all the time. And really what it is, it's a problem of overclassification. Oh, so when a Democrat does it, it's overclassification. When Donald Trump does it, it's because he is evil and selling the nuclear codes to Vladimir Putin. Here is CNN trying to talk Joe Biden's way out of this.
Katie, this has been a big question, of course, not just in light of what happened with Trump's documents, but also now with Biden. You know, is it an accepted thing? How common is this? What is your reporting found?
Yeah, Caitlin, this kind of classified spillage happens almost literally every day. And most of the time, it's completely accidental. An employee accidentally takes home a classified document in a briefcase.
Well, I mean, whoopsie. And this must have been a big whoopsie at three separate locations. And they're searching through it like 5 years later. Because Joe Biden left office in 2017. So, yeah, that's weird. That's weird. I'm noticing a shocking lack of confidence, actually, as it turns out, by the investigators in many of these cases. Remember, the DOJ did not send lawyers to go oversee the searching of the documents, even after they knew that Joe Biden had classified documents in his house. So, yeah, Joe, just lawyers will handle that. It'll be fine. Why not? They're doing an amazing job. And meanwhile, speaking of people who are doing an amazing job, the Supreme Court says it still has not identified the person who leaked the draft abortion opinion in Roe v. Wade. I'm sorry. That is bull. like maybe the Supreme Court is unable to find that out, but who exactly is on the job over there? Inspector Clouseau? The Supreme Court staff is not large. It's not like you have thousands of people working for the Supreme Court. Some of the most coveted positions in all of the legal profession are clerkships under a Supreme Court justice. And usually it's like 4, 5, 6 clerks per justice. I mean, a very small cadre of people. It cannot be this hard to find out who leaked this stuff to Politico. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court announced on Thursday that an internal investigation had failed to identify who leaked a draft of the opinion overturning Roe v. Wade. In a 20-page report, the court marshal, Gail Curley, who oversaw the inquiry, said that investigators had conducted 126 formal interviews of 97 employees, all of whom had denied being the source of the leak. But several employees acknowledged that they had told their spouses or partners about the draft opinion and the vote count in violation of the court's confidentiality rules, the report said. The investigation did not determine that any of those discussions led to a copy of the draft opinion becoming public, however. Investigators also found no forensic evidence of who may have leaked the opinion in examining the court's computer devices, networks, printers, and available call and text logs, the report said. The finding raised the possibility no one will be held to account for one of the most stunning breaches of secrecy in the Supreme Court's history. The leak left the court in a state of mutual suspicion about whether a clerk or even a justice betrayed its code of silence about rulings before they were announced. The inconclusive report comes as opinion polls have shown weakened trust in the court and all of the rest of this sort of stuff. I find it absolutely hard to believe that if the full power of American law enforcement were unleashed on this particular case, it would be impossible to find who among the 97 people who were interviewed. I mean, this is basically just an Agatha Christie mystery. It's a closed box mystery. One of these 97 people or a spouse leaked this. So who is it? This doesn't seem like it should take this long to figure out. But apparently it does. Either that or somebody knows and they're not revealing it for a very good reason. I love that the left is trying to claim that Samuel Alito leaked it. Yeah, that would make perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that Samuel Alito would leak his own draft opinion in order to drive extraordinary ire and outrage prior to the vote being actually done. Yes, makes perfect sense. You nailed it, guys. It is far more likely that it's a left-wing law clerk. And by the way, I think eventually we will find out, once the statute of limitations has closed, we will find out who this was, and this person will then be feted as a hero by the left for attempting to stop this great predation of allowing states to legislate on the issue of abortion. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First, many of you have asked, what is the state of abortion in the post-Roe world? Well, sadly, abortion continues to happen at an extraordinarily terrible rate, with the abortion pill accounting for over 50% of abortions and now about to become available to many local pharmacies across the country. Babies' lives are in even greater danger. Preborn partner clinics continue to stand strong for the unborn by providing free ultrasounds to mothers considering abortion. Once a mother hears that heartbeat and sees the precious life growing inside her, she is twice as likely to choose life. But Preborn doesn't stop there. They provide these mothers with counseling, diapers, baby clothes, and assistance for up to 2 years, wrapped with love and compassion. One ultrasound is just $28, the cost of a dinner to save a life. Get involved today. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That is #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/Shapiro. That is preborn.com/Shapiro. All gifts are tax deductible. 100% of your donation goes to saving babies. Babies do need our help now more than ever. Please go to preborn.com/Shapiro to get started. Alrighty, coming up, things continue to heat up in Ukraine. This is dangerous stuff. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So things are continuing to heat up in Ukraine, and I'm not seeing any off-ramp here from the Biden administration. I understand the strategy, which is keep ratcheting up the pressure on the Russians until they come to the table. The question is, what are you offering the Russians that they should come to the table? Virtually every conflict in human history has ended with some sort of negotiation. Very few of them end with the total defeat of one side or another. This happens to be one where negotiation is going to be the outcome, because Russia is not going to disappear as a state, nor is Ukraine going to march into Moscow. On the one hand, you obviously want to maintain pressure so that the Russians don't feel that they can continue to push without counter pressure. On the other hand, there has to be some sort of backdoor negotiation happening with Putin and his team. Because if this continues to ramp up and Russia really believes that they are going to lose everything, that's when the nukes may come out. That is when Vladimir Putin decides to mobilize 2 million people and just flood the zone. Or maybe he decides to fire a missile over into NATO territory in order to try and break NATO proper. And basically dare you, come back at me over the border. War is a fluid situation, and the longer it lasts, the more opportunities you have for a major screw-up. You'll recall that just a few months ago, there was a situation in which a missile fired by Ukraine of Russian make ended up hitting Poland. And there was talk for like a brief hot second that maybe it was Russia that had hit Poland, maybe we were all going nuclear war, right? You remember that for 5 seconds? And it turned out that it was actually Ukraine attempting to hit Russia and missing and instead hitting Poland. So we all have an interest at this point in facilitating an end to this conflict. I understand why the Ukrainian people have no interest in doing that. They're saying, listen, we got invaded and we're pushing back as much as we want to. Don't tie our hands. I get it. I also understand that the United States, and I'm an American, has achieved its interests already. The interests the United States was seeking to achieve are, one, the crippling of the Russian military for stepping over its boundaries. Done. Two, the prevention of Russia from invading another sovereign country. Done. Three, the realignment of Ukraine with the West. Done. Four, the realignment of Europe away from Russia and more toward the United States. Done. Five, the warning of China that if they attempt something similar with Taiwan, there will be dire economic and possibly military consequences. All of those goals have now been achieved. So the question becomes, what is America's further interest in continuing without end to facilitate this thing? According to the New York Times, however, the new U.S. aid is being provided. The attempt is to break through the Russian defenses. The U.S. plans to send Ukraine 90 Stryker armored combat vehicles as part of a roughly $2.5 billion shipment of arms and equipment that is expected to be announced at a meeting of allies in Germany on Friday, according to the DOD. The decision to send Strykers for the first time and possibly deliver them within weeks comes just days after Britain committed to sending Ukraine 14 Challenger battle tanks, and the United States, France, and Germany agreed to send dozens of armored infantry fighting vehicles, including 50 Bradley fighting vehicles. The U.S. announcement came 1 week after the Biden administration announced another $3 billion package of military assistance that will include Bradleys, which officials said would be especially helpful to Ukrainian units fighting Russian forces in the Donbass region of the country's east. Western officials fear Ukraine has only a narrow window before an anticipated Russian springtime offensive. They've been working quickly to give Kyiv sophisticated weapons they had earlier held out on sending because of concerns of provoking Moscow. On Wednesday, Colin Call, U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, told reporters Ukraine needed more mechanized infantry and armored personnel carriers to punch through heavily fortified Russian defenses. He said the Russians are really digging in. They're digging in. They're digging trenches. They're putting in dragon teeth, laying mines to enable Ukrainians to break through. The emphasis has been shifted to enabling them to combine fire and maneuver in a way that will prove to be more effective. Now, the United States has been also helping Ukraine target Crimea. Now, Crimea, it's been sort of a foregone conclusion since 2014 was going to stay Russian. The reason being that Russia had poured extraordinary resources into Crimea to sort of solidify it as a Russian province. So now the talk is allowing Ukraine to go into Crimea. Again, there has to be an off-ramp here. According to the New York Times, for years, the United States has insisted that Crimea is still part of Ukraine. But the Biden administration has held to a hard line since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, refusing to provide Kyiv with the weapons it needs to target the Crimean Peninsula, which Russia has been using as a base for launching devastating strikes. Now that line is starting to soften. After months of discussions with Ukrainian officials, the Biden administration is finally starting to concede that Kyiv may need the power to strike the Russian sanctuary, even if such a move increases the risk of escalation, according to several U.S. officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity. White House officials insist there's no change in position, because they say, we always said the Crimea is part of Ukraine. But yeah, there's a change in position when you are now saying that you should provide Ukraine the military resources to go back into Crimea. The Biden administration has come to believe that if the Ukrainian military can show Russia its control of Crimea can be threatened, that actually strengthens Kyiv's position in any future negotiations. Okay, so where are the negotiations? Now listen, it could be possible that Putin is the one who's refusing to negotiate. That's fine, but somebody should say that. And somebody should actually say it. That's not what I'm hearing. Somebody at the White House should say, Vladimir Putin has been utterly unwilling to negotiate on any terms at all. But if he's willing to negotiate, at a certain point you might want to actually negotiate. Instead, Putin, with his back to the wall, is announcing another mobilization round. The Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov announced on Tuesday that Putin will deliver a speech in St. Petersburg to commemorate the 80th anniversary of Soviet forces breaking the Nazi siege of Leningrad. And apparently he is going to announce another mass mobilization. We get to 1.5 million men mobilized under arms by the Russian government. Meanwhile, Henry Kissinger is shifting his view on Ukraine and its NATO bid. Originally, you'll recall that he was not in favor of Ukraine joining NATO because he said that that would essentially provoke Russian action. Now he's saying Ukraine should join NATO essentially to deter the Russians from further acts of aggression. And again, I think there's truth to that. Or maybe that's a negotiating position. Maybe you go to Russia and you say, listen, Ukraine will not formally join NATO, but they do have a mutual defense guarantee with us. And we are going to continue to ship them the weaponry they need to deter a future attack. Maybe that's a negotiation point. And this is going to just kind of simmer for the West at a relatively mid-level range of attention up until the point where something goes dramatically wrong. Now, speaking of things that are going dramatically wrong, the situation on our southern border continues to be an absolute disaster area. Alejandro Mayorkas, our awful Department of Homeland Security Secretary, he admits that we now need FEMA to help address issues with illegal immigration on the southern border.
FEMA is providing emergency food and shelter program funds to help cities around the country recover or defray the costs of non-citizen arrivals. CBP and ICE are working closely with cities to share information and coordinate the disposition of non-citizens in immigration enforcement proceedings.
Okay, so obviously this administration, it's been a disaster area. Mayorkas says we have a comprehensive strategy. They do not have a comprehensive strategy or anything remotely close to it. Here's Mayorkas.
We're executing a comprehensive strategy to secure our borders and build a safe, orderly, and humane immigration system. Working within a broken system in desperate need of legislative reform, 2 weeks ago, we announced new lawful pathways for non-citizens seeking relief in the United States, accompanied by a consequence regime for those who do not avail themselves of those processes.
Okay, so their new policy is nonsense. It is not going to be effective in any way, shape, or form. It basically allows you to apply online to immigrate illegally. It's not going to stop the flood across the border. Everybody knows this. So meanwhile, this is the dumb game that we play. Create an unworkable border policy and then say, what if we just legalize everybody? So now you got, again, once every couple of years, you get the bipartisan group of senators who decide they're going to solve immigration by amnestying 10 million people. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is now, you know, happening again. This is one of the reasons why, at least, thank God, the Republicans took the House. Even if it's by slim margins, this thing is DOA in the House of Representatives. But the Senate is attempting to cram something through. Quote, a bipartisan group of senators is pushing ahead in the new Congress with efforts to reach an agreement on border security and immigration policy after talks ran out of time last year. We're committed to finding lasting solutions to this crisis said Kyrsten Sinema, the senator from Arizona, who co-hosted a trip with Senator John Cornyn. Kyrsten Sinema, who chairs the Homeland Security Border Committee, is pushing for a deal that combines a path to citizenship for about 2 million people who are brought to the United States illegally as children, these would be the Dreamers, in exchange for changes to how the asylum system at the border functions. That would probably include expanding detention of asylum-seeking migrants and an extension of Title 42, a pandemic-era policy that allows illegal border crossers to be quickly turned back to Mexico. So in other words, she is basically proposing a short-term fix, but a permanent solution for the 2 million so-called Dreamers. How about no? How about we figure out what to do with the people here once we have plugged the giant leak in the boat? Like, that's not how any of this should work. You should figure out how to stop the leak before you figure out what to do with the people who are already here. Otherwise, you're just facilitating more leaking, which is exactly what happens. Every couple of years, you get a gang of eight or a gang of 12, and they try to figure out immigration. The reality is that the American people agree on immigration. What they want is two separate bills, one for border security, in which we actually solidify the border, and the second, we figure out what to do with the people here. And it seems to me a proper solution on that one would go something like this. Are the people who are here illegally of benefit to the United States, or are they not? When they came in, their status, that is almost wholly irrelevant. The question is, you got here, you skipped the line, you ended up here. Now, is it good for the United States that you are here? And the answer for some will be yes, and the answer for others will be no. That is what sovereign countries get to do. They get to pick and choose who enters the sovereign country. But apparently that is a bridge too far. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Tens of thousands of pro-life Americans rally in Washington Friday.
As they've done for the last half century, pro-life advocates gathered here in the nation's capital in opposition to legalized abortion. But this year was different, following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini said the annual march will continue.
We will continue to march until the human rights abuse of abortion is a thing of the past. We will march until abortion is unthinkable.
The theme of this year's march is marching into a post-Roe America. Greg Clugston at the March for Life in Washington.
President Trump says reporters who published the Supreme Court's draft opinion that eventually led to Roe v. Wade being overturned should be jailed. The White House disagrees with the seriousness of Supreme Court draft opinions being leaked. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called Trump's comments an insult. California U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein has not yet declared her intentions and whether to seek re-election, but prominent Democrats are lining up. U.S. Representative Katie Porter announced her run last week. Representatives Adam Schiff and Barbara Lee expected to enter the race as well. At 89, Feinstein's the oldest sitting senator. Google's laying off 12,000 workers.
Google is the latest company to cut staff following rapid expansion during the COVID-19 epidemic. CEO Sundar Pichai delivered the news today in an email to staff. In his email, Pichai said, "Over the past 2 years, we've seen periods of dramatic growth. To match and fuel that growth, we hired for a different economic reality than the one we face today." Pichai says the jobs being cut are across Alphabet, product areas, functions, levels, and regions. I'm Donna Water.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
and farm groups are saying egg prices need to be investigated.
They say the Federal Trade Commission should examine high egg prices for signs of price gouging from top egg companies as Americans continue to pay more than ever. U.S. regulators, farmers, and industry officials have often argued in recent years about the power of top agriculture firms to set prices and drive up what consumers pay for groceries. The latest concern is eggs, with prices up 138% in December from a year ago to $4.25 a dozen. Some experts say the reasons are an increase in holiday demand, higher production costs for farmers, and an outbreak of bird flu, a highly contagious virus that can be fatal to poultry, such as chickens and turkeys. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
And seizures of illegal eggs coming across the southern border have increased majorly. New York wants to ban restaurants from handing out utensils and condiment packets in takeout and delivery orders unless requested by the customer. News and analysis at townhall.com. Home sales are down, but prices are up.
Sales of existing homes fell nearly 18% in 2022, the slowest year for the housing market in nearly a decade. Mortgage rates more than doubled in 2022, climbing to a two-decade high of just over 7% in the fall, as the Fed kept boosting its key lending rate, trying to tame inflation. Even so, the typical national home price for all of last year jumped more than 10% to just over $386,000. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. I'm Rita Foley.
It's a traffic fine most of us can get behind. South Carolina, what's commonly referred to as the slowpoke bill, allows police to fine slow drivers in the far left lane $25. Well, the new version of the bill increases the fine to $100 and will go into effect if it passes the state Senate and House and gets the governor's signature. More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
President Biden on Tuesday ordered lunch from the Washington restaurant Ghost Burger and got a burger with bacon. Wow, first classified documents, now bacon burgers. It's like Trump never left. I mean.
So when Trump does it, it's bad. When Biden does it, we love him, don't we? Welcome to Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for the vacationing Chris Plant. And a Friday Luya to you. We try and lighten the tone a touch, but the Democrats aren't making it very easy. The Democrats and their globalist friends over in Davos, they're not making it easy for us. It's just ridiculous. 100% ridiculous. But if you get all wound up, if you have the agita, you can't sleep at night, we have something for that. We're going to play it later. It's something that it's better than any of those sleep drugs that are out there. I guarantee you, it'll put you to sleep. And we have so much to cover today. Oh, my goodness. Joey spoke yesterday. Joey finally spoke. He went out to California and answered a question about the scandal, the document scandal. We'll share his thoughts with you. There's also more stuff from Davos, more than we could ever have hoped for, and the debut of a brand new short parody song inspired by Al Gore. from Davos. I think you're going to like it. Since it's Friday, we'll always take your nominations for Woke Olympics Awards. Al Gore might get one because he's just super woke. We might have to put his face on the Woke Olympics Award somewhere, somehow. And then there is just a ton of audio about how China is just the best place, and they should be our bestest buddies. And that's coming, of course, from Davos. So we'll dive into that. Mike Rowe, the great Mike Rowe. I think the world of Mike Rowe. Happen to know him a little bit. Have spoken with him on several occasions. And we first started working together on projects about, well, almost 25 years ago. So Mike Rowe was on Fox the other night. And we're going to have to talk about Mike Rowe. And you'll hear some of the things he said because he makes complete sense. And he's breaking it down based on something California's doing. California is, in the name of the climate, attempting to get rid of small businesses, I believe. And they're doing this in the name of the climate. What California has done, they passed the law a long time ago. It went into effect this year, just this month, January 1st. They passed a law that took effect January 1st, and it will eliminate about 70,000 diesel-powered vehicles because they're too old. And California says they are polluting too much. Now, the air pollution's gotten a lot better in this country. As a kid, I remember just how nasty air pollution was, especially in California. Now, California's air is pretty darn good. And they didn't need the solution from the Beverly Hillbillies. You can look this up. It's on the internet. It's on YouTube. The Beverly Hillbillies, Jed Clampett, was proposing to use his millions to drill a giant hole in the mountains and put fans there to suck out all the air pollution. And they never did that. But, you know, just technology, the amazing ability of our engineering to lessen the output of emissions from cars powered by diesel and by just regular old gasoline, internal combustion engines, diesel and gas powered, to the point where California's air is pretty darn clean. And we're not messing with the waters the way we were in the 60s. We've got factories trying to clean up their act. So America's done a really good job, I think, when it comes to pollution and still retaining our lead as an industrial nation. But California, that's not good enough for them. So this law was passed, and it means some 70,000 vehicles will have to leave California. They're not just going to burn them. Well, that would cause even more pollution. But what will happen is those vehicles will be transported to other states that aren't clamping down like this. But the real victim here, aside from the small businesses, is going to be you and me. The real victim here is going to be the person who relies on local shipping, trucks that bring stuff from warehouses to our homes, to our stores. All of those little businesses are going to get absolutely crushed. See, California wants you to latch on to this idea that it's these big businesses that have to do it. They're the same ones who went after Lyft and Uber, the ride-sharing companies. They want them to be part of a giant company. They want them unionized. They don't want the individual to have control of their lives. And that's really what this country was built on, is the individual responsibility. So Mike Rowe happened to be on Fox talking about California and forcing of small businesses. Basically, they're moving them out, but they're forcing them to either sell out to bigger companies or change the way they operate, but ultimately it's going to cost people. This was Mike a couple nights ago.
Because it's not just truckers, right? This started with ride sharing, Lyft, sort of Silicon Valley thing. It's moved into all aspects of freelance work. and the gig economy, and it is completely under fire. There's a trucker named Tom Odom, who you should talk to. You would really enjoy this guy. Mm. He came from nothing out of East L.A. He built a business. He nets close to $200,000 a year. Driving his own truck, it's over for him. He's gone. He's moving to Texas, and 70,000 other independent truckers in this state are looking at the end of the way they want to work.
70,000 independent truckers whose businesses, whose lives are going to change. This guy has the ability, at least, to pack up and leave because he's his own boss. And he's going to Texas, like Elon Musk took his company to Texas out of California. At some point, these states are going to realize that what's being done to them is absolutely killing economies. California, I believe it's somewhere the seventh or eighth largest economy in the world. But they are losing money and people at a ferocious rate. Mike also clarified how this California law, this imposition onto small business was impacting you and I in terms of the supply chain.
It's going to impact everything in the supply chain. Anybody with anything in their house that was ever on a truck is going to be impacted by this.
Anybody with anything in your house that relied on a truck to get there is impacted by this. This is government overreach, in my opinion. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe I'm missing something on this. I'm not a mechanic, but Matt, a listener to the Chris Plant Show, Matt is a mechanic and may understand it. He's in Frederick, Maryland. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're a little way. Get a little closer there, but I can hear you.
So I am a diesel mechanic, and I do on-site and road service. And I'm in a lot of Facebook groups with other mechanics, a lot of which are in California. And this has been absolutely devastating for them. And we're talking droves and droves of diesel mechanics that either work in field service or what have you, basically closing up shops because you can't just drop $200,000 on a new mechanics truck at the drop of a hat. And to follow the law and repower one of these older trucks could cost you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And never mind the fact that they're multiplex and basically the truck can't support the new rent. So it's a lose-lose all the way around.
Yeah, I forgot about the fact that the business owners who have the diesel trucks also rely on a couple of secondary industries, like folks like yourself, who are mechanics.
Yep.
This is now the collateral damage will be the independent and even non-independent shops that service diesel engines. Wow. California is a lab for progressive policies. What happens in California gets looked at by at least 15 states that say, hey, they're doing it in California. We ought to do it here. So keep your eyes out. Maryland, your new governor will probably love this policy.
I mean, and I always say in Maryland, whatever California does, it's coming here next.
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. They're totally in on this. It is just a way to consolidate power and control, and that's it infuriates me and it troubles me, and I think we all need to keep speaking up. But yesterday, the stats were released for the first time in forever, as in never before seen. A record number of people left the state of New York and moved to the state of Florida, more than ever in the history of this country. And there's only one reason for it, the leading reason anyway, of course, is freedom. And you start taking away people's freedom, eventually they get tired of it and say, I can't do this anymore, and they leave. It used to be people went to Florida to retire and enjoy the sunshine. Now it's to enjoy the freedom. California is experiencing the same thing. We just hope those states that are seeing the influx of people changing where they live are not bringing the wokeness with them. Matt, thank you so much. Tell your friends we're screaming about it. and we're trying to make sure that their voices are heard. But there's going to be a lot of older diesel trucks for sale in states surrounding California and ultimately around the country. Let's hope that virus doesn't catch. Thank you, Matt. Real quickly, let's jump into Victor in Silver Spring, Maryland. Hey, Victor, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you. I listened to a talking show that used to come out of Cincinnati, Steve Summers' Overnight Drive, and I got to meet a lot of truckers over the phone. I actually met one in person. But another trucker I know, his name is Heatwave, and he works out of New Mexico, and he used to have a run to California, and he told me that he's banned now, driving his truck in California, so he lost that route, and other truckers in that area are having the same problem.
Yeah,
so,
we can't tick off the truckers, Victor. This is one thing that everybody's got to realize. The truckers are the lifeblood of this country. We remembered it suddenly at the beginning of the pandemic when we deemed them first responders because they brought us toilet paper and everything else that was necessary. And now we seem to have forgotten it again. The truckers, and many of you are listening in trucks around the country, the Chris Plant Show, thank you. But this is just unfair. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, you were heroes. And now they're putting their throat or their foot on your throat because they have a woke agenda they need to lead to. I have to take a quick break here. I appreciate everybody who's joining us early. It is a Friday. This story bothers me. That's why I had to get to it. I know it's a California story, but trust me, what happens in California, the progressives are latching onto it, and they're going to try and shove it down our throats in every other state. It's Opelka, in for Chris Plant, on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrolipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, reverse to reduce. Here's Bob.
Hey Culligan, I love fresh water, but I got plastic bottles coming out.
Whoa, Bob, you are not kidding about the bottles. But did you know Culligan's reverse osmosis and always-on drinking water systems provide fresh, clean, delicious drinking water and help reduce the equivalent of over 15 billion plastic bottles from landfills worldwide?
Holy fresh, environmentally friendly drinking water. Am I right?
Right, Bob. And we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
At Staples, you can count on every project being print perfect, guaranteed.
I need presentations and brochures printed, and they have to be perfect.
Your bounded presentations, brochures with the finest folds, and more will be done right every time. That's our print big promise. Now at Staples, get $10 off your document printing and marketing materials order of $50 or more, plus 20% back by a store bonus. Try Staples and see the difference. Ends 2/11. Rewards members only. Bonus must be redeemed in store. See staples.com/stores/printbig for details.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Nothing fights the winter blues like a delicious and satisfying meal. Luckily, Omaha Steaks makes it easy to start the year right and keep that warm and cozy feeling going all winter long. Right now is the perfect time to stock up and fill your freezer with flavor. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout and get $30 off your order. Save on perfectly portioned favorites, easy meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks Freezer Filler Sale. That's $30 off an endless variety of gourmet choices, from incredible steaks, premium chicken, delicious pork to seafood. There's something for everyone, and every bite is backed by their 100% money-back guarantee. Visit omahasteaks.com today. Enter SIZZLE at checkout to get $30 off your order. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Serving in Afghanistan, I was shot in the head by sniper fire. I was given a 5% chance to live. I'm Adam Alexander, and I'm a veteran. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I tell kids that with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year.
My victory is being there for the next generation.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka here for my vacationing friend. Happy to be here. Thrilled to be here, as a matter of fact. Always have a good time. My brother was listening yesterday, and he wrote to me and said, that Plant audience is smart. I said, yes, I know that. I say that all the time. So kudos to all of you, and thank you for hanging out with me this week. It is always a blast, as I said. We have so many things that we want to get to, and of course it's Friday, and Friday is a good time to have Woke Olympics nominations. It's always a good time to have Woke Olympics nominations. So let's get one. Kevin is in Chantilly, Virginia, joining us. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mike, wonderful job you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, just a couple nominations. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I got a lot of help here, you know, keeping me on the rails,
everybody,
you know, Michael Pearson.
Everybody does a wonderful job. I'd like to nominate Seth Curry and Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors showed up at the White House to do the thing after you win the NBA championship. I know Steve Kerr has been an insufferable liberal for years. And they give him a lot of airtime because he's able to coach a basketball team. And it's a very skilled basketball team who are being paid a lot of money. And so for that, he gets credibility with the media on other topics. And I just can't stand it. He's a guy who's surrounded by armed guards, but he doesn't want anyone else to have the right to own a firearm. He's not someone. And I respected him as a player. I was a big-time Chicago Bulls fan. But I'm not a fan of woke Steve Curry. Has Steph Curry done something I didn't know about?
Yes, he And he went up there and he spoke a little bit, and he was bragging how much about the release of Brittany Griner, which I'm glad she's home, don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
how the team, they won two other championships while Trump was in office, and they didn't show up then, but they show up now. And then there's one other thing I want to get to, if I have a second.
Yeah, quickly, sure.
Yeah, real quick. You know, 2 years from today is Inauguration Day, if there's not one sooner. January 20th, 2025, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Inauguration Day is 2 years from today. We were talking about this before the show, that we'll see what happens if the heat starts to get turned up on Joe over the documents. And we still don't know the results of his physical. And was there a cognitive test? You know, the media beat up Trump and his press secretaries every year to get the information about, oh, how was his physical? How was his cognitive test? And you don't hear a peep out of the press corps on this one. I think one or two questions was asked, and it's been replaced by the document scandal. We'll see if it gets brought up again. But I certainly think we need, especially after listening to Joe in the last couple of weeks, we need to know what's going on with Joe Biden. Is he healthy physically and mentally? Well, I think we know the mental part. I think we know that he is showing some signs of not just losing a little bit on his fastball. The curveball's not doing any better, and the knuckleball is a mess. I've got clips. We'll share it with you. And more of your calls around the corner. It's Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show. It's a race against the clock as Savannah Sprunt Fairchild Honeycutt agrees to get her feisty mother-in-law from Alabama to California, all in time for her brother's wedding. The only problem? Mama Won't Fly. A comedy by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hoult, and Jamie Wooten. Directed by Jennifer Levins. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Mama Won't Fly. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight.
At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
It is the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. Boy, we have a lot to get to today. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. We have so many stories. We'll get you Joe Biden finally answering a question on the document scandal. There is more evidence that CNN is finding journalism. At the same time, CNN seems to rush to Biden's defense. The mainstream media's pals over at MSNBC are... They're stunned, shocked, and maybe even appalled that the Secret Service would turn over documents about the visitors to the Biden household, especially after we were told those documents didn't exist, and you and I knew they did, because we're not stupid. And the World Economic Forum has some absolute insanity happening, and we'll share that with you again. As Greta Thunberg showed up yesterday, and I believe she's leading a march today, but China was front and center yesterday. And more from Al Gore, and who doesn't love that? But I start off the show talking about this this very restrictive law that California has foisted upon so many small businesses and independent truck drivers. And it's going to take 70,000 vehicles off the road. Now, if you take 70,000 vehicles off the road, some of them will go to other states, maybe half, maybe less. But that means those trucks have to go somewhere. Will they be shipped out of the country? Will they go to other countries? You're not really changing the environment if they go to another state. You're not really changing the environment if they go to a different country where they'll still be driving around. Diesel trucks last a long time. You take care of any internal combustion engine, you basically change the fluids, and they will run for about a million miles. It's amazing the technology we have now and how long these last. But it's the government interference that bothers me. And so many of you have jumped in on this. I guess a lot of us realize just how important truckers are to the overall economy. And a few of you are calling in. Let's grab a couple of quick calls here, because I do want to get back to Joe Biden and some of the stuff he's doing as well. But some of you have been waiting a little bit of time here. Mike is in Baltimore, Maryland. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, California's got some unique geography, that giant valley they have where the air doesn't move. So when you move those trucks out of that valley and put clean trucks in, that's what's going to reduce California's unique smog problem. There's trucks in all 50 states. California is the state that was famous for its smog in the 70s, and it's because of its geography. So they have unique problems to solve.
So, hold on one second, Mike, one second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 70s was nasty. I talked about that. But that valley, that doesn't have the same smog problem that the Beverly Hillbillies wanted to drill holes in the mountain and have fans suck out the smog. That problem is basically diminished. As a matter of fact, California doesn't have a city that appears on the world list of the most polluting cities, not in the top 25, not a one. So why are they creating laws to solve a problem that has diminished?
Because you still have kids in this giant valley where there are huge warehouses suffering from, you know, elevated levels of asthma. And that was the point I was going to make. I'm glad you said that things are better, because things got better not because people voluntarily shut their trucks off or because factories voluntarily stopped selling things, stopped making things. It's because laws were passed, laws that, you know, folks like you and folks, conservatives opposed every single step of the way. There hasn't been
Mike, you don't get to filibuster here. To generalize about conservatives and folks like me who oppose laws at every step of the way. No, we want clean water. We want clean air. But it's a balance between government and private business. We know that when a government is taken over by an extreme ideology, that there is not a balance. It's the same with the woke world, who said, yeah, you can have free speech as long as you agree with me. And what's happened in California is taking over and telling people, you're going to do it this way or you're going to leave. And guess what? California has promoted U-Haul truck business to the highest level. When businesses are leaving at record levels, it shows you're not doing good. The air is cleaner than it was when I was a kid. The air is cleaner than it was in the 70s. The water is better. The government intervention is not always a good thing, because rarely do those people understand the real world of what it takes to run a business. All they have is the utopian dream in their heads, which has almost no connection to reality. Thanks for your little filibuster, but I have to tell you, you're wrong on this one. Have a great day. Mike in Wilmington, North Carolina, I think might have a more reasonable approach to this. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. Oh, it's Rick.
Hello?
Rick in Wilmington, North Carolina. Sorry, Rick. I got my names mixed up. I'm Mike. You're Rick.
There we go. You know, I think the states can do a lot. Our founders have set up an adversarial system, and I think it works great. It looks ugly when it's happening, but I think the states can do some things to oppose each other when they make these weird rules. It's like the concealed carry permit thing. You were talking about the truckers and how they have issues going across state lines. But, you know, concealed carry, if I got a concealed carry permit in North Carolina, I can't. It doesn't work in New York City. But if we had bureaucrats and office holders that had some courage, we could oppose some certain things and say that make rules sort of like, hey, if North Carolina's concealed carry permit doesn't work in New York or California, then your driver's license doesn't work in North Carolina. And that would force their voters to get those people out of office and start putting people in office that would work a little more towards our mutual benefit, rather than to have a single ideological group try to dictate to the rest of the nation out of the power seat of California. Some of the other states can pressure California. And one of the problems with that is the federal will come in and say, oh, we're going to take your highway funds if you don't do this or that. And that's why we need people in office with courage. We need people in the Supreme Court that'll at least hear a 10th Amendment case, you know, and get the federal government out of some of this stuff and let the states work it out for themselves, you know, even with schools. And fortunately, with the new abortion thing, with the Roe versus Wade thing, they actually did start moving in that direction. I think we need to defederalize a lot of things, and that'll let the states start working things out between themselves, and it'll balance out a little bit better.
Thank you, Rick. Very well said. Great points there. And one of the things, and I appreciate your call, one of the things that I am hugely hopeful for is more return to the power of the states, because that's the way this thing was set up and has worked for so long. But the Democrats in the last 2 years, especially under Pelosi's House leadership, was pushing so much to get control back to the federal position and away from the states. They want the big government in Washington, D.C., to have control over everything as it relates to the elections. You know, we were hearing the endless calls for the abolishing of the Electoral College. And now they're even trying to twist the narrative to say that the Electoral College is hurting small states. No, it's not. It's the actual protection of the small states. If the Electoral College is gone, if we are a nation that only elects somebody based on the total popular vote, we are done as conservatives. We're done as a party. We'll never have another conservative president. We'll never have, we will march straight to socialism. We'll be on a rocket ship to socialism, and therefore on a rocket ship to bankruptcy. And, you know, a Chinese style social credit score will emerge. It's already starting to bubble up, and I'll talk about that because there's a very interesting story about a woman who spent 16 years in China and says she misses the co-parenting of the Chinese government now that she's back in this country. Can you imagine that? It's stunning to me. The opening of the show, Michael Piercy played a clip from the Stephen Colbert show. Was it? It was Colbert, wasn't it? Yeah, talking about Joe Biden ordering a hamburger, and this was from a restaurant called Ghost Burger. And the ordering of the hamburger became a piece of media fodder. And everybody was like, oh, isn't it amazing that Joe Biden called an order in to have his hamburger? The interesting thing about this, it was, I guess it was Seth Meyers, not Colbert, Seth Meyers on NBC. The interesting thing about this is that the Seth Meyers clip also included Joe Biden calling the Ghost Burger place to place the order. And when we first reported this story, because the Washington Post wrote 885 words talking about this order, 885 words. It was an article in the Washington Post talking about how Joey called in his order, and then they sent a staffer to go get it, and we learned that nobody tipped. There is a service charge, but nobody gave the extra tip. But here's the deal. The lady that was called in to work that day, it was her day off. She was supposed to have the day off, and yet the company called her and said, hey, we have a VIP calling in an order today, so you have to be here to take the order. Is there a special VIP hotline at Ghost Burger? No, there isn't. So why was this lady, whose last name I think is Spatty, why was she called in to work on her day off? Well, it's all about checking boxes. She is a woman of color, so this opportunity for her to speak to the president would certainly play well with the left and say, oh, here's a conversation with Joe Biden talking to a woman of color and placing his order for a burger that he's going to have in his Tuesday luncheon with Kamala Harris, by the way, who's also a lady and a person of color. This was all about optics. And I contend right here and right now, I guarantee you, had Donald Trump, yes, I'm playing whataboutism here, had Donald Trump called a burger joint and ordered a hamburger, and the mainstream media learned that Donald Trump's phone call was a setup and that the company was instructed to get a certain worker in whose day off it was, that the entire mainstream media would say, Donald Trump forces single mother of color to come in on her day off to take an order so he can have a hamburger and make it a White House event for optics. I guarantee you that's what would happen. And in the end, that's actually what happened with Joe Biden. But no, the mainstream media was all drooling about this. Absolutely drooling about it. And then there was another lie that was told. And we're going to find the clip and play it after the break here. There was another lie that was told. This whole thing was scripted and set up. And Miss Spatty told us that when she answered the phone, when she picked up the phone, she immediately recognized who was calling. He didn't even have to tell her who he was. Well, we have the receipts, and we're going to go to them after the break. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Research shows listeners prefer a personalized experience. So to help you remember, Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance. We personalize this ad for Amber, who really misses boy bands from the 90s.
Hey, girl. I'm the cute one. Here to tell you how Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
I'm the heartthrob. The only thing I love more than you is saving.
And I'm the other boy in the band everyone forgot about. Just happy to be
here. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Everyone can boost their digital confidence with NordVPN. All it takes is one simple click. NordVPN will block online trackers, hide your virtual location, and secure your devices from malware-infected downloads. It will also block access to malicious websites. So catch the special deal now at NordVPN.com. Enjoy more private and secure internet daily. NordVPN, cybersecurity built for every day.
Today on Hey Culligan, smooth skin and soft hair comes from where? Here's Mike.
Hey Culligan, I've tried every conditioner, lotion, and body wash known to man, and my skin still feels like sandpaper.
It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart, high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Nothing fights the winter blues like a delicious and satisfying meal. Luckily, Omaha Steaks makes it easy to stock up and fill your freezer with flavor. Save on perfectly portioned favorites, easy meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks Freezer Filler Sale. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout and get $30 off your order. That's $30 off an endless variety of gourmet choices. Visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, call Oasis Financial today at 877-266-9107. It takes just 3 minutes to apply. And once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right. Get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So call Oasis today to see if you qualify at 877-266-9107. That's 877-266-9107.
Better days start today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Call Oasis today at 877-266-9107. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
And welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Friday Luya to ya. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on this Friday. I would be remiss if I did not mention the loss of David Crosby. David Crosby passed away yesterday at the age of 81. Yes, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, a rock god to many, and a hell of a performer. Just, you couldn't even... His recorded stuff does not do justice to his live performances. And yeah, he was a liberal kind of a guy, but I could separate the talent from the politics. Just so much great stuff. And a guy who lived his life to the fullest. I mean, talk about the drug and alcohol stuff he went through. He also went to jail, something to do with drugs and guns. And he fathered a child via surrogacy with Melissa Etheridge. This guy did everything. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Mr. Crosby. Gone at 81, David Crosby. Before the break, we were talking about the PR move that the White House made on Tuesday with the president calling Ghost Burger in Washington, D.C. to get the Ghost Burger for himself and Kamala. And they really laid it on thick, as did the Washington Post with 885 words, just making this a wonderful experience for this employee of Ghost Burger who answered the phone, who was called in on her day off because a VIP was calling. That means the whole thing was a setup. And here's the actual call.
Ghost Burger, Brittany speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, Brittany. This is Joe Biden. I'd like to place an order for lunch if I could, okay?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, what would you like to have?
Well, I'd like to have a bacon cheeseburger with American cheese and a side of French fries. We'll have someone come pick it up, okay? How's business at Ghost Burgers these days?
It's pretty good.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm looking forward to having lunch.
That's crazy. Ooh, I'm shaking.
So... The lie that the Washington Post was telling, and I'm going to blame them because I doubt Brittany Snappy or Sappy or whatever her name is, I doubt that young lady was writing the story for the Washington Post who said, they quoted her saying, I didn't even have to ask who it was. I knew by the voice. Well, the first thing he says is, "Hi, Brittany, this is Joe Biden. Yeah, and I want to order a burger." At the end of the video, though, that the White House has put out, and they claim this is under the guise of promoting small business, Joe and Kamala, by the way, Joe is not heard ordering Kamala's burger for her. Did somebody else do that? Just wondering. At the end of the video, Joey and Kamala actually pretended like they liked each other.
And we've got cheeseburgers.
We got cheeseburgers from Ghost Burger.
Yes.
I ordered them and I said, "This is Joe Biden calling." I said, "Huh?"
Yeah.
She didn't say, "Huh?" You probably said, "Huh?" when somebody said, "Hey, boss, we need you to do this thing because we're going to try and make you look good." Huh? Yeah, sure. That's what happened. Boy, the reality there is just dripping with fakeness. I have to hear that again with Joan Campbell, please.
And we've got cheeseburgers.
We got cheeseburgers from Ghost Burger.
Yes.
I ordered them and I said, "This is Joe Biden calling." I said, "Huh?"
Yeah.
This is a microcosm. This is a lesson that shows you the reality behind this administration is that they're orchestrating everything to try and make Joey sound like he's aware and awake and understand what's going around him. That's not true. Everything is scripted. Everything is a setup. Everything is optics. But you know, you can't hide it forever. Because we actually do the work. We actually pay attention. All right, we've got more from Joe. Yes, he finally answered the questions, or a question, about the documents. And there's more outrage on the left. Oh, there's so much fun today. Plus, the World Economic Forum gets even dumber. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
I ordered them and I said, "This is Joe Biden calling." I said, "Huh?"
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.